A solemn day, despite the brilliance.
Always a very grave occasion.
Oh, dear God. That is for me, gentlemen. Yes, I believe it is.
Mr. Makepeace.
Thank you, Reggie.
Follow me, sir, if you please.
Pitiful.
And him a chaplain, too.
Of course, we'll have done with him in short order, I should say, if half the report of him is true.
I have to follow so hopeless a case.
I bid you not to speak of it, Doctor.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dio. I've never been before a court-martial.
You have nothing to worry about.
Oh, I shall plead guilty, Captain, at once.
I do assure you, upon my word of honour.
I shall add I was sitting in the Powder magazine at the time, smoking tobacco, wasting my medical stores and making a fraudulent return at the portable stoop.
Silence there, you two!
It's only my conduct in question, after all.
Oh, I don't mean you to take offence.
Despite the nominal indictment against captain, officers and ship's company all.
But the court is celebrating victory still. The president alone looked 20 years younger when he came aboard.
I have put all that gaiety aside now, Doctor. For the occasion, and for that scrub of a chaplain.
You judge him before his time.
Let me ask you, Doctor, should you like to place your life thus between the hands of such a parcel of senior officers? Your profession and your good name?
Well, you can rely upon me, sure.
Thank you.
Though I don't doubt I shall sink you nonetheless, with such little knowledge as I have of nautical matters.
You will be very well, Doctor.
I hope so, with all my heart. For who in the world would believe my version of your story?
Come, you pretty young maiden, come hearken to me. I'll sing you a tale of the dark rolling sea. Ah, the lucky Jack Aubrey, my song is to be. And the prodigious might of his fiddle-dee-dee. For the girls, they grieve and cry like a day. For their harbors all empty when Jack sails away. And they'll weep and wail and pray for the sea to bring back lucky Jack and his fiddle-dee-dee.
Master and Commander by Patrick O'Brien. Dramatized by Roger Daines. The year is 1800, and England is at war with Napoleon.
Very finely played. Do you not think so, sir?
I believe so, yes. But let me ask you, sir, if you really must join in with the players, could I entreat you to do so in time?
In time, sir?
In time, sir.
Very well played. Well played, gentlemen.
Oh, you may now have to confine yourself to beating, sir. The harp, you see?
And Mrs. Hart to play upon it. Splendid.
The piece, sir?
Yes, the piece. The piece. The music, sir.
She looks very well.
Don't
Bravo! Charming! Beautifully fingered!
Thank you! Thank you all, gentlemen!
Yes, technically rather difficult.
What?
That piece.
But damn well played, you must agree.
Mrs. Hart carried it off. Well.
You suggest these gentlemen give her more than her due, sir?
No, not at all. But low-cut blue satin and a double rope of pearls might weigh in the balance of their opinion.
My name is Aubrey, sir. Lieutenant Aubrey. I'm staying at the Crown.
Maturin, sir. To be found any morning at Hotelito's Coffee House. May I beg you to stand aside?
Damned ill-favored son of a bitch! To give himself such airs! And I was in perfect time. Perfect time. And actually to nudge me during Molly's harp. Or with the blow, yes. Shall I suffer that? From a civilian, too. an affront to my professional code. Professional.
Lieutenant Aubrey.
Good morning, sir.
I expected you earlier.
Captain Hart?
There was a time, sir, when a shipless lieutenant would have swum the harbour to learn a port commandant's mind. Those days are gone, no doubt. The new breed.
Sir?
You know the Vertueuse?
I do indeed, sir. New captured, new coppered. Beautiful little French privateer.
Yes. Well, I have to tell you, Lieutenant Aubrey, your claim, the promise you claim, in short, the Vertueuse is to go to Middleton.
Middleton?
Exigencies of the service, sir.
Middleton? Your secretary's brother, sir?
An officer of distinction, newly arrived from Gibraltar.
Sir?
I have taken the unusual course of giving you the news myself.
Thank you, Captain Hart.
And you may be sure, Lieutenant, of the continuance of my regard for you.
Kiss my ass. Regard. And I truckled to that thing of a secretary so his damn brother could command that. Virtually promised to me. Snapping up prizes all along the whole Spanish coast. In my place. My virtues. My glory. My personal advancement. My prize money.
£17 and 12 shillings. The interest.
15%, is it?
And you'll pay £5, 12 shillings a month. I can well believe the dissatisfaction of your loss, Lieutenant.
I don't ask for a further advance, Mr. Williams.
It would not be wise.
But if you were to do...
Who knows? By quarter day, you may have got your command.
Well, I can see I shall need either better luck or better interest. For my interest now is 15%. Hey, Mr. Williams?
Hey? excellent, Lieutenant Aubrey. Just you keep a cheerful countenance, and all will come out right, I'm sure.
Sad, Teniente.
What?
Sad, poor Teniente.
Who could be sad, Mercy, with you? And with those.
He will give you no letter, if you be like that.
Letter? Is it worth no touch, Mercy? That's the question. What letter?
I'll bring him. And Captain Allen come for you.
Well, the devil can Captain Allen want with me? Did he say? It had best not be a subscription, that's all.
This is him. Letter for Captain John Halbray, R.N.
Oh, damn fool to get the wrong rank. Merely makes it worse to be passed over.
Will you open it, Teniente?
Can't make it out. No hand, I recognise. But at least it ain't that Williams. Damned old vulture with his 15%.
Open him and see, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
By the Right Honourable Lord Keith, Knight of the Bath, Admiral of the Blue, and Commander-in-Chief of His Majesty. Whereas Captain Samuel Allen of His Majesty's sloop Sophie is removed to the palace, Captain James Bradley, you are hereby required and directed to proceed on board the Sophie and take upon you the charge and command of commander of her, willing and requiring all the officers hereof, nor you nor any of you may fail, as you will answer the contrary at your peril.
By God!
Not sad, Teniente?
Not sad! Not Teniente, Mercy!
Not?
Damn me if my worth not been recognized at last. Captain! Capitano, Mercy! Oh, come here!
Capitano!
Capitano!
Fine day, Captain, sir. Fine day.
Bello soleil, indeed.
Chocolate, James.
Pot bagar?
Why? Mr. Maturin, good morning.
Oh, good day to you.
Oh, would you care to join me, sir? I fear I owe you 1,000 apologies for last night.
Oh, not at all, sir. Un leggero di cioccolata, Jape. Rabbia sana battuta. I am nata.
Zanio.
That must be a splendid thing, Mr. Maturin, to speak the Spanish as you do. I've often tried. French and Italian, too, but the fault is here. In the brain, I dare say.
Curious. A good ear for music would generally imply a facility for language.
Oh, no, no. It was the same with Latin when I was a boy.
Moriemus, et inimitia, arma, oremus, unus salus, vitais nullum, Spirere, salutum. Oh, Queenie, this is too difficult.
No, Jack, no, dear. Look. Moriemo. You know that, don't you?
Moriemo. We die.
Subjunctive?
Oh, let us die.
Good, well done. Et in media arma roemus?
Oh, I don't know, Queenie. Really, I don't.
Oh, come now.
No, it's the foreigners. They generally understand me, but, you know, I always get thrown out by them. They speak so quick.
Catanian, senors.
Oh, allow me, Mr. Maturin, I beg. To make amends for last night. I'm afraid we sailors are so little used to genteel company. Good music. We're apt to get over involved.
Oh, it's only right and proper that you should.
Yet it may be my ear is not so very famous, though I love the music dearly. So hard sometimes to pitch true upon a note.
Oh, you play then, sir?
Scrape, Mr. Maturin. Torment a fiddle from time to time.
Why, so do I make my attempts upon the cello.
Well, then we must play a duetto, whenever you have leisure, sir.
I should be honoured.
Oh, it's a rare occasion to find a new musician here in Marne. I thought I knew of everybody, even the most mediocre.
And now some, I have heard, are very good. The lady, for instance, who played the harp last night.
Mrs. Hart, you mean. The port commandant's wife.
Have you played with her?
I have once or twice. But, you know, fiddle and harp are strange companions.
Well, we must make a duetto, sure.
We must. Though, to say the truth, I can't tell when. I have just been promoted.
Oh, have you so? Well, I wish you joy of it with all my heart.
Which means I have a whole round of official calls to make still. But I should count it an honour and a pleasure, Mr. Maturin, if you would join me for dinner.
Oh, most happy to.
We'll wet the swab, and when it's handsomely awash, then perhaps we might try a little music.
Delighted. You speak of wetting a swab, sir?
Oh, it's a cant term we have in the Navy. The swab is this.
Oh, a badge of rank, I make no doubt.
To proclaim me Captain Aubrey to whomsoever may wish to know.
A most elegant decoration, so it is, but should you not have one on either shoulder?
Oh, I dare say I shall ship the other one by and by. But do you see, when first we put the epaulet on, we wet it by custom. That is, we drink a bottle or two of wine.
Well, I'm deeply honoured that you should invite me, sir. Captain.
The George, then, at 3 o'clock. Mr. Maturin?
The hoopoe.
What?
That cinnamon-coloured bird with barred wings. Upopo ipops. There.
How does it bear?
Ah, gone. Do you know, I've been hoping to see a hoopoe ever since I arrived, and in the middle of town. Happy man to have such denizens.
Oh, well, yes. Very glad for you, I'm sure.
The 3 o'clock, then, you say? At the George. Delighted.
Astonished, Captain Aubrey. Expected you yesterday afternoon. Captain Allen, too, expected you yesterday afternoon. Upon my word, you have an odd notion of taking over a command.
I only learned last night, sir. Indeed, this morning, between 1 and 2.
Yet the letter certainly went off in good time. The fault lies those people at your inn, no doubt. No relying upon your foreigner. Well, I give you joy of your command, Captain Aubrey, I'm sure. But how you intend to take the Sophie to sea with no people to work her out the harbour, I confess I can't imagine.
Has Captain Allen not left the ship?
Captain Allen must be 20 leagues away by now with his new command.
The Palace has sailed?
At midnight, sir. You cannot expect the service to wait upon your pleasure. Allen took his lieutenant with him, his surgeon, all the promising midshipmen, and every real sailorman in the Sophie, I don't doubt.
Well, I must make the best of what I have, then.
Not many, sir. I was obliged to make a draft from what was left for harbour duty. I can let you have a chaplain, though.
Can he hand a reef and steer? If not, I'd rather be excused, thank you.
I will give you some advice, Captain Aubrey. This is what happens when a man goes a caterwauling all night at the governor's soiree, when he might have been aboard his own sloop in an officer-like manner. God strike me down, sir. It's a pretty state of affairs when a young fellow prefers the company of Italian fiddlers and eunuchs to taking possession of his own first command.
I'm so happy for you, Jack, to have your ship at last.
Well, she's not quite a first rate, of course.
Oh, come now, one glass is hardly enough to wet your swab, Jack.
But who in the world wants a blundering great 74 with never a hope of an independent cruise?
And an independent cruise is more your style, am I right? I give you joy, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so you do, Molly. I don't think I've ever in my life been so happy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like your lips better than your Madeira.
You make the most of them. Mm-hmm. If you intend to sail a gathering prizes all up and down the Mediterranean.
Never you fret, dear Molly. I shall take no prizes for some time. This letter ordering my command was delayed. Damn curiously delayed.
Can you not guess how?
Oh, I can doubt it.
My husband does not like you. I can't think why.
I've been left not crew enough to work out of harbour, Molly.
Indeed. We shall have to see what we can do about that.
You have influence, Molly.
I have some. Jack.
Not enough to have got me my ship, however.
It is your merit alone, Captain Aubrey, has secured your command, as you well know. And not before time, neither.
Well, I should be able to meet your interest, Mr. Williams, at least.
Oh, your credit's a great deal more elastic now, Captain. Now you are, Captain, I should say. And as you are, Captain, I make so bold as to ask of you a favour, if I may.
Well, I'm obliged to you, sir.
My wife, sir, has a young cousin with child to go to sea, wants to rise to purser later on. He's a quick boy, David, writes a clear hand and good with figures.
Ship's clerk?
If you've no one else already in mind, sir.
Well, I tell you what. You find an able seaman to come along with him, sir, and I'll take your boy David.
Are you in earnest, Captain?
Why, yes. Yes, I suppose I am. Yes, certainly.
You won't regret it, sir. David, I give you my word, Captain Aubrey. David!
Here I am, sir.
Mr. Williams tells me you write a fine, clear hand, sir. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, David, Captain Aubrey doesn't want to hear
it. Will you take me then, sir?
should you like to write down a note for me first?
Oh, certainly, sir.
It's addressed to the master of the Sophie. Do you know his name, Mr. Williams?
Marshall, sir. William Marshall. Prime navigator, I'm told.
So much the better.
The angle YCB, to which the yard is braced up, is called the trim of the sails. Expressed by the symbol small b, this is the complement of angle DCI. It's impossible, Queenie. Quite impossible.
Isn't the trigonometry evident, though?
Why, no, Queenie. To tell the truth, it ain't evident at all.
Well, Jackie, darling, look. Try to remember what a cotangent is, and we'll begin again.
The mutual relation of the trim of the sails and the leeway.
You have to think of the ship as an oblong box.
I'm happy to make your acquaintance, gentlemen all. As there is yet no lieutenant, I shall myself read my commission to the ship's company.
Off!
By the Right Honourable Lord Keith, Knight of the Bath, Admiral of the Blue, Commander-in-Chief of His Majesty...
Hereof, nor you, nor any of you may fail, as you will answer to the contrary at your peril.
Admiral Copperplate had, is it?
And a nice evocation of doom in the final paragraph.
Oh, you know, it's all mere form. Now, Mr. Maturin, allow me to press you to some of this ragout mutton.
Oh, willingly. You know, I haven't eaten so well for many a day. Nor, if I may say so, in such pleasant company.
Well, it is provoking to find only three dishes instead of the five I ordered. Sanko Platos, I said.
Sanko Platos.
Explained everything most carefully in Spanish. Visage de porco, I said.
Yeah.
And the fellow nodded like a China mandarin. Now, heaven knows what this dish is by you, but hog's face it is not.
Delicious though it is. But, might the misunderstanding not have arisen from your own care, sir, of explaining in Castilian Spanish?
Well, it seemed to me reasonable, speaking to Spaniards.
Perhaps you are forgetting that Catalan is the language of these islands.
Another language? Well, I had no notion of it. But no doubt it's much the same tongue. A Putin, as they say in France.
No, nothing of the kind. Quite different language. Some would say better. And, by the way, sir, if you would allow, I believe the word in French is patois.
Oh, patois, just so. Yet I swear putain is a word. I learned it somewhere. And you say this Catalan is quite different from your Spanish tongue.
As unlike as Gluck and Mozart.
You astonish me.
Well, I was brought up in these parts. Indeed, I must have spent more time here than in Ireland. And when first I went home, I worked all in Catalan. I found my studies came easier that way.
Capital to speak it, sir, like a native. What I call making good use of one's childhood. I wish I could say as much, having been in the Navy since I was breached.
Oh, you have a wealth of other experiences, then.
By God, Mr. Aubrey, you must think yourself the perfect young whoremonger. Bring aboard a bumboat girl to hide in my cable tier, would you?
I humbly beg your pardon, sir.
Oh, I think so. Perhaps you can give me a reason, too, then, why I shouldn't have you turned before the mast this time. Well?
No, sir.
Well, by God, I'll do it.
No!
Long past time for you to learn your duty it is. And don't stand there greeting, Aubrey. I'll not have it, do you hear me?
I was degraded to a common sailor 6 months before being rated midshipman again. But I was grateful for it in the end. Came to understand the lower deck through and through. And they were wonderful kind to me. But at the time, I cried like a girl, I can tell you. And now that same man who's given me my first command. Here's to him.
So, do you take Lord Keith to be the interest in your preferment?
Oh, damned if I can see it. Each time I met him was worse than the last.
Oh, I would give much to have seen what you must have come across in your mariner's life. I made such poor use of my time here. Great desert expanses of sterile, brutish ignorance. All the birds, insects, plants of my own childhood. I fastened upon the first opportunity to come back, accompanying Mr. Brown.
Oh, Brown of the dockyard? A naval officer. I know him well. Excellent musician.
No. My patient died at sea on the way here. Oh, poor fellow. He was in the last stages of phthisis, as I found when I opened his body.
You cut him off?
I thought it proper that his friend should know the cause.
Well, had I known you were a surgeon, sir, I don't think I could have resisted the temptation of pressing you.
Surgeons are excellent fellows, but I have not the honor of counting myself among them. I'm a physician.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Dear me, Dr. Maturin.
Yeah.
What a sad blunder on my part. But even so, I should likely have you run aboard the Sophie and kept under hatches until we was 20 leagues from here.
You have no surgeon.
And no likelihood of finding one. But can I not prevail upon you to go to see doctor?
I've never thought of it, sir.
Well, a man of war's a very thing for a philosopher. I can promise him some monstrously strange fishes, at least, and birds, of course, all sorts. Natural phenomena, meteors, and always a chance of prize money. Even Aristotle would have been moved by the prize money.
But I am in no way qualified to be a naval surgeon.
Oh, bless you, Doctor. Do you but consider what we're usually sent. Surgeons, mates, who know nothing of butchery, far less physic, who learn on the poor seamen as they go along.
Well, in all candor, sir, your offer tempts me exceedingly. Finding myself, as I do, very much at a stand here in Menorca.
Well, I'm heartily sorry to hear that, Doctor.
Well, I thought my late patient a man of substance, but in the event...
Well, I'm almost ashamed to profit by your embarrassment. And the pay is contemptible to a learned man, you know.
But then, for an inquiring mind, a ship must be a most instructive theatre.
Prodigiously so, I'm sure. Yeah. Make this first voyage as my guest. Come aboard tomorrow.
Is it so simple?
Sure, I'm captain, do you see? I can exercise a little patronage of my own.
And allow me to drink to your health, Captain.
With pleasure, Dr. Maturin. Oh, Lord, but it's fine thing to play the great man once in a while.
Bold Sophie's commander sleeps tight in his bed. His dreams all of glory a spin in his head. Soon of foes and of prizes we'll clear sweep the sea. Sure, it's not just the ladies get fiddly-dee. For the girls, they grieve and cry lack-a-day. For their harbors all empty when Jack sailed away. And they wail and weep and pray for the sea to bring back Lucky Jack and his fiddly-dee.
What in God's name is this infernal confusion? Mr. What?
Here, sir. This is a kingship, person. Not the Margate Hoy. Clear those men's forehead and fast that bloody hammering!
If you please, Captain Aubrey. The generous cutters alongside with the men who were drafted off for harbour duty.
All of them?
With Captain Hart's compliments, sir.
You have influence, Molly.
I have some. Jack.
My compliments and best thanks to Captain Hart. Ah, Mr. Richards.
Good morning, sir.
This is a seaman you brought me?
That's right, sir.
Fine, stout fellow he looks, too. What's his name?
Alfred King, if you please, sir.
Can you hand, reef, and steer, King? What's that? Come, sir, haven't you got a proper civil tongue in your head?
Please, sir, he has no tongue. The more's cut it out.
Oh, well, stir him for it. I'll read him in by and by. Mr. Watt, get those men to work. This is not Fiddler's Green. Mr. Babington.
Aye, sir.
Prepare our cutter. I'm going aboard the flagship. And when I come back, Mr. Watt, this deck will present a very different appearance, if you please.
Aye, aye, sir.
Aubrey, sir, commanding His Majesty's sloop, Sophie. Oh, I beg your pardon, ma'am. I thought Lord Keith was here expecting me.
Jackie.
I...
Close your mouth, dear. You gape like a gob.
Queenie?
And you, who look so beautiful, so dressed up, new swab and all.
Old Queenie.
Let me put your neckcloth straighten. Oh, come, Jackie. I should say you look as frightened of me as if I were a Frenchman.
Queenie, my dear. Well, I'm just so astonished to see you.
God damn it, bless my soul. You, sir. What the devil do you mean by so flirting with another man's wife?
Wife?
Admiral, Admiral.
Lady Keith.
This is the young man I was telling you about. Jack Aubrey.
Oh, aye.
I used to give him his bath, you know. Take him into my bed when he had bad dreams.
When I was a child, sir, that is. Queenie was my nurse, sir.
I was forgetting.
A great friend to the family.
Oh, sir. I mind you, Captain Aubrey. Forgive me. I have such a power of captains.
And some of them, say he, are very mere rakes.
He could not have meant you, Jack.
Well, I thank my star for Queenie, I can tell you. God, I was like a boy mid again, caught under the cold eye of his.
But did you not know the Admiral had married?
Not to whom, Molly? Besides, well, he must be 60. And she... Dear God.
I wish I had seen your face.
And there I was, convinced my command must have been got by honourable wounds and my own merit.
But now you believe it was all Lady Keith.
Oh, dear Queenie. Yes, I make no doubt it was all her. But I have you to thank, Molly, for the return of my harbour duty men.
I would have given you a ship, Jack, were I an admiral's wife.
I already have all I could wish from you.
Well, perhaps you would not like it said that, like Selden, you got more by your pismo than your practice.
Oh, you have a tongue on you, Molly Hart.
Should you like it, Jack Aubrey? Oh,
to have my ship, my Sophie, must be a price to pay. But by God, it'd be worth it.
I do begin to wonder at Captain Aubrey's invitation. Was it merely Jack ashore and the influence of a new command, a good dinner and four bottles, possibly five? Still at all, the chance to see what he promised and to get £30 a year for the seeing of it.
Forgive me, sir.
Sir?
Might I ask whether you know which of these ships is called Sophia?
A king's ship, sir. Man of war.
I have been told so.
Well, there's no ship of that name.
I cannot allow myself to suffer an affront.
But perhaps you refer to the sloop, sir? The sloop, Sophie?
Oh, that may well be the case. No man could easily surpass my ignorance of nautical terms. Yeah, the vessel I have in mind is commanded by Captain Aubrey.
Ah, just so. She is a sloop, sir. Ah. 14 guns. She lies almost directly in front of you. There.
Oh, the little small squat merchantman with 2 masts.
She is a man of war, I do assure you. And I believe she's about to make sail, in fact. Yes, you see, there go her topsails.
She is sailing away.
She will be in a few moments, though she never was one of your very brisk performers. But Jack Aubrey will certainly see to that. Is there something amiss?
I'm very much obliged to you, sir.
Servant, sir.
So many disappointments. It doesn't seem possible that I should have to bear another.
ship's surgeon. Jack ashore. Just Jack ashore.
Come, pretty young maiden, attend to my song. We're steering to glory, but loving along. With our Goldilocks captain, it's glad company. And the girls and the Frenchies get fiddly-dee. See old Boney wail and cry like a day. For his ship's all afire when Jack sails his way. While the girls keep watch and pray for the sea to bring back lucky Jack and his fiddly-dee.
Can I really have set my heart on it so much?
There it goes! Far there!
Yes, 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 I can.
Pull out, Trey!
New place, new skies, new living.
You'll catch him in here,
and that Sophie, which sails without
me. Dr. Mavrin!
Oh, God damn her! Dr. And all the pain in her!
Dr. Mavrin, sir! Dr. Mavrin!
What is it now?
Captain Aubrey's compliments, sir.
Compliments?
He's very much concerned to say that Sophie will not be back in port before dinner time.
Oh, is he so?
He's proven her handling, sir.
Really?
But he intends to bring her back in this afternoon, and we'll send a boat for you. At any time you may choose to appoint.
Oh, well, that is most kind, sure. What do you imagine might be a convenient time, sir?
Oh, I suppose, about 6 o'clock.
Well, then at 6. I shall be at the Crown steps. I'm very much obliged to you, Mr.
Malt, sir. Doctor.
Meantime, I shall go across to the hospital, offer my assistance. Mr. Malt, would you care to join me?
Thank you, sir. I have an appointment. That is.
Well, you're seven, Mr. Malt.
No, you're, sir. Really?
Yes. The hospital. It's a great while since last I felt the grind of bone under my sore.
Mr. Dillon, welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry not to have had you earlier, but we needed to profit by this morning's wind.
Did she prove well, sir?
Well, as you can see, but at least we are not short-handed. And now we have our lieutenant aboard, we lack but our surgeon, who is to come this evening. So, he did very well, yes indeed.
Very well, says he. The fleet's own brazen, smiling serpent brings the poor Sophie in, first time he ever set foot in her. First time, barely a yard standing at all.
Oh, half the ship's company pumping for dear life, and the poor carpenter wretched as a drat.
Never a pause for a smell of the pie. Short time for dinner, as well, be made up.
All the time, that Goldilocks new broom, smiling away as the King George is just waiting to knight him for it all.
Bad news for us on the lower deck. On the lower deck, you mark me.
God, ever old Captain Allen back again, what wouldn't I give?
And me.
And we'll have all the women ashore, Mr. Dillon.
Without exception, sir?
All without their marriage lines, all the trollops. Couple things in port, they won't do at sea, only cause trouble. Make one sweep now, and then another just before we make sail. That should clear the sloop entirely.
Very good, sir.
Captain Aubrey wishes you to step ashore,
oh,
madam.
Oh,
is
this my art?
Yeah, I'm sure you're better than yours.
Oh.
Now, go on, you've had your fun in pocket.
Oh.
Come along. Come along. There's another place on top of the boat.
And now he puts the duties ashore. Puts them ashore. Him, as was one of the most perfect oarmongers in the fleet.
What you about, Rob?
I knew Goldilocks Aubrey when he was a mid, aboard the old Resolution. Ooh. Broken he was. Broken. Turned before the mast as a common seaman for a little piece he stowed away in a chain locker. Oh, the arse.
He's Captain Aubrey now, isn't he? Times change.
Times change, all right. Give a man a guilt swab on his shoulder and he'll stick his into nothing less than a pork covenant's wife, won't he?
Mm, but as far as our only entertainment goes...
You've got your fist, don't you? That's no more than Goldilocks himself will have once we make sail and his molly heart left behind him.
12 sail of merchantmen and transport to convoy to Cagliari.
I shall have completed my stores and provisions by this evening, Captain Hart.
Yes. I heard you made hay of the dockyard, with your list as long as your pennant. New spars, new yardarm, your 12-pounders too heavy for your sloop, and God knows what else.
I thought to try what I could to make the Sophie more effective man-of-war, sir.
Failed, didn't you, sir?
She is still under-rigged, yes.
Well, I think of the care Captain Allen had of the King's stores. But that's not the way nowadays, is it? It's all spendthrift, fling it down the kennel, young commanders, hoping to see their names in the Gazette. Well, I trust you'll take note, Captain Aubrey. Your orders this time enjoin you by no means to endanger your masts, yards, or sails.
Though I am to travel at very great pace.
And on no account are you to incur any risk whatsoever.
Yet I am to shrink from no danger, I see.
I hope the Sophie is well found, as Captain Allen left her,
Capitally well found, sir. I have an excellent lieutenant in Mr. Dillon, and a full complement of 89 men, including the Marines.
You've been fortunate, sir, considering.
I even have a Dublin physician for ship surgeon.
Do you, by God? I hear they charge a guinea a visit.
Oh, well played indeed.
And yourself, Doctor. A pause and then the Locatelli?
Certainly.
Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. It's customary in the service to draw an advance upon one's pay.
Upon appointment? Really?
I conceive you wouldn't choose to appear singular.
Oh, that is a very humane regulation, sure.
Isn't it?
Is it often taken advantage of?
Oh, invariably.
In that case, I'm most obliged to you.
You'll find, too, that certain other perquisites come the surgeon's way. Queen Anne's gift, I think.
Well, I'm not greatly concerned with money.
And something for every man with the pox. Stopped out of their pay. And, when you're properly sworn in, you stand to gain a 16th share in every prize the Sophie takes.
Oh. Do you take many such prizes, then?
I intend to.
Well, has the Sophie?
Never before.
And do you give that out as her luck or her spirit?
I will change them both, Doctor, before I'm done. The discipline of His Majesty's Navy, combined with the spirit of a Sally Rover. We shall sweep the sea clean.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Dillon.
Good morning, sir.
Our merchantmen still all there, I see.
Slow, though, till full daylight, sir. No doubt they're afraid they may trip over the lines of longitude.
What? Yes. Well, we shall have to muster up the ship's company, Mr. Dillon, after breakfast. Decide how to watch and quarter them all.
The new draft is unsettled still. Though at least we have plenty of hands.
Indeed we have. We can fight both sides easily. And that's more than can be said by any line of battleship. There seems to me an unnatural proportion of Lord Mayor's men among that crew from the Burford.
We had the tail end of our draft, I think.
No old Charlottes, I suppose.
One, sir, just. A foretopman he was. Still seems quite dazed and stupid, even now.
A sad business, Sir Charlotte. You were there, I collect.
There was talk of an infernal machine.
An Italian in Boney's pay, I was told.
Yeah, I heard that, but I believe it was more like to be some fool who allowed hay stored on the half-deck, just next to the tub with a slow match for our signal guns.
Dear God, that is criminal bad seamanship.
We could hear the flames a mile away, and more. A first rate, a blaze from truck to waterline. Sometimes a sheet of fire would lift off and go up into the air all by itself, cracking and waving like a huge flag.
800 men, the Charlotte's company.
It's just a morning as this.
Could you have saved any of her people?
Few. Miserably few. Many more should have, but our boats hung back.
Your men were thinking of the Boyne, were they?
Yes. And the Charlotte's magazine was just as full. No, it was not a creditable business. But, you know, there's little to be done with an unwilling crew.
Upset. I should say so. Short in the article of sleep, that's what.
That little darling of yours, Frankie, pretty sure so as not to keep you from the very same sleep. What about her, eh?
Goldilocks Aubrey reckons the crew will be a better weapon because of all this upset, does he?
A bigger weapon, mate, at least if Frankie there's anything to go by.
Dear God, what's this? Pandemonium. Oh, some emergency. Are they all so much occupied they've forgotten I'm here? Could they just warn me? Oh, God! Mary and Joseph! Oh, what kind of seating have they got me here, for the love of God?
Did you bump your head, sir?
What did you say?
I said, did you bump your head, sir?
Yes, I did.
It is old beans, sir. You want to take care of them, you know. They are very low.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you, Doctor. Trust you slept.
Very well, I thank you. These hanging cots of yours are the most capital invention.
For sleeping, at least.
Breakfast, then.
My way of thinking it out. Oh, what on earth is the matter?
With me, Doctor?
Oh, that cacophony above us.
Oh, the hands are being piped for their breakfast. Light along that bacon, Killock. And the coffee. I'm clammed.
Been up 2 hours already.
Oh, really? I'm ashamed to have slept so late myself, sir.
My dear sir, you are our guest.
Oh, but how I slept. None of your tinctures of laudanum could equal that. Yet it has left me barbarously unshaved and nasty at my captain's board. Whereas you, sir, are as smug as a bridegroom.
Coffee, sirs. And bacon and egg.
You must get very many shocking incised wounds from shaving in rough weather.
Can't say we do, no. Matter of use, I suppose.
Coffee for you, sir.
What we do get is a most plentiful crop of burst and bellies. What's the learned word?
Hernia. Oh, thank you.
Sir? Yes, I dare say. Half the idlers are more or less ruptured, which is why we give them the lighter duties. Hernia and the pox, very common.
Well, not so very surprising when you consider the nature of a mariner's labour.
Damn good coffee.
And his amusements account for his pox, of course.
His raptures. And his raptures. Hey, Doctor? Oh, good. That yes. is good wit. Yes. I must write that down. His raptures and his ruptures.
I remember the parties of Seaman and Marn, wonderfully elated, dancing and singing with their drabble tail whores. Small wonder the pox.
We didn't see any of the Sophies, though.
None that I remember.
Nothing to be elated about or with. No prizes. So, of course, no prize money. Which is prize money alone, you know. Lets a seaman kick up a dust ashore. Precious little does he see of his pay.
But you will change that, you say?
Before I'm done, Doctor, you shall have more pox than you thought possible.
Thank you.
I hope I may have the pleasure of introducing my lieutenant to you after breakfast. He appears to be a seaman-like, gentlemanly fellow. Has most distinguished actions to his credit. And he's a countryman of yours, too.
Oh, really?
Perhaps you know Mr. Dillon.
Well, there are so many Dillons. What is his Christian name?
James.
Erin Dobra! Ah!
James Dillon.
Yes. Nephew, I think, of Lord... I forgot.
Well, it would not help me in any case. I do not remember to have met any James Dillon.
Mr. Day,
sure.
Take signal 23 with 2 guns to load.
Aye, aye,
Mr. Marshall,
aye, sir.
We'll set the main on 4 staysail. As soon as that slug of a pink comes up with the rest of the convoy, we will set the royal.
Mr. Rock,
Sailmaker and his party to get to work on the mainsail directly.
Aye, aye, sir.
Where's the clerk?
Yes, sir.
Fetch the watch bill, Mr. Richards. We're not going to some kind of shame.
I want, sir.
Mr. Dillon.
Sir.
I don't believe you've met Dr. Maturin. To be our new surgeon.
Ready to haul away.
Mr. Dillon, I'm very pleased to make your acquaintance.
Roy.
I'm...
Mr.
Boyd. Servant, sir. Take you look unwell.
Hey,
nothing.
I wonder, Doctor, whether it would amuse you to look over the sloop while Mr. Dillon and I attend to our watch business.
Oh, nothing would give me greater pleasure. Such an elegant complexity of... I don't know what to call it.
Mr. Mowat, sir!
Ready the
be so good as to show Dr. Maturin what?
Well,
everything then. Carry him into the main top. That affords quite a vista.
Will I lead you the way, Doctor?
I will try to imitate your motions as best I can.
Now then, Flaherty, Lynch, Sullivan, Two Kellys, Sheridan, Aloysius Burke.
Quite a man, sir. Taken in Liverpool for causing an affray. They were offered the choice between the dampest spells in the Bible and His Majesty's Navy, so they took the dry course.
Oh, damned Irish papists. At this rate, they'll be making up half the starboard watch. And then we'll not be able to get by for beads, eh?
I'll rate them lampmen, shall I?
I feel so much better now. Solid wood under the buttocks.
They do say it's a wonderful plan not to look down, sir, when you climb
it. Well, I shall remember that. I'm very sensible of your kindness in helping me up, Mr. Mountain. Where are we?
The main top, sir, and that other forward. The support. Of
course.
That's the staysail, sir. And their sheets hold up, see?
Stays?
Rig on the stays, Doctor. Slide along them like curtains by those rings. We call them hanks, see?
Oh.
Now, we used to have grommets, but hanks answer so much better, you know?
Such a maze of ropes and wooden canvas, so it is. You couldn't explain without using sea terms, I suppose.
No sea terms, sir?
No. Wouldn't be possible, would it?
So, that's slot book, tickets, sick book, complete book, log, letter and order books, all balanced, sir, as you see.
Mr. Ricketts, here in the muster book, number 178, Charles Stephen Ricketts.
Yes, sir. It's my son, sir.
Just so, Purser. I see he appeared on November the 3rd, 1797, from Tunnant, late Princess Royal. There's no age entered by his name.
No, so there isn't. Let me see now. Charlie must have been just rising 12 by then, sir.
He was rated able seaman, Mr. Ricketts.
Yes, sir.
At 11 years of age. Then on September the 12th, 98, he was rated clerk. And on November the 10th, 99, rated midshipman.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, I have here the list of dockyard tallies. Would you like me to explain them in detail?
Can you tell me, Mr. Moore, what that is, a brig?
Well, this is a brig, Doctor.
Ah.
The Sophie. Though we call her a sloop. But a brig, you see, is a lieutenant's command.
And Captain Aubrey is...
We call him Captain, yes. But he's properly master and commander.
Ah, but then what is that? What is that howling?
The bosun, sir.
Get on up there, yeah?
The gallant bosun flies. Like a horse mastiff through the storm, he cries.
Oh, what do you want?
Prompt to direct the unskillful still appears. The expert praises and the timid cheers.
I want that friend to the yard before dinner. The MSB got the
bunch of bastards. Well, he seems very free with that cane. I wonder they don't knock him down.
Someone's riding for a fall on these papers.
Oh, I think it may answer well enough, Mr. Ricketts.
The old ways changed and the old mess is broken up with all these hands is not the room for. Hands he pretended not to know about.
Oh, well, things may be a little more lively under the new proprietor. We may be a little flighty, young and free that we are with our brand new epaulette. It's my belief the men will come to like it, would you?
A brig, Mr. Marshall, is not a frigate. Unless a ship at a line. You're on top of your people in the Sophie, and they can give you hell or cause you to be broke as easy as kiss my hand. As will be if he persists in capers of this kind.
Captain Aubrey's a good seaman.
Well, that's as may be, but you and I know there's a great deal more required in brute seamanship. Qualities not to be found in every Johnny come lately.
Why?
And not in Jack Lie by the Wall, neither. A headpiece, Mr. Marshall, and true bottom and steadiness, as well as conduct. That's what makes the captain of a man of war.
Mr. Mullen?
3 minutes and three quarters, sir.
Oh, dear. That makes our average rate of fire archaic.
Oh, is it so bad?
Quite extraordinarily slow. We must change it. Antediluvian gunnery. Bad, Doctor, bad.
Oh, yeah, perhaps you could tell me, now your practice is done, why are those ships in our convoy so very close together?
Which?
Yeah, are they conversing, rendering one another mutual assistance?
Hands to the braces at once!
Oh, what have I said?
Port your helm, Mr. Marshall! Clap in forward and jump to it!
There is something wrong.
Mr. Moyes, run up with a glass and tell me what you see.
Mr. Dillon!
Sir?
We'll have the hide off that bloody lookout tomorrow if he lives to see it. I don't expect to have to rely upon our guests.
Indeed not, sir.
Rail up the mainsail there!
Captain Aubrey, please, what is going on?
Very well done, Doctor, indeed. Only one of those ships is of our convoy.
Well, then what
about
the other?
Is probably a corsair, an Algerine pirate, taking the advantage, as he thought, of our exercising the great guns to sneak in and make a snatch of the cat for a prize.
The cat?
The Norwegian. The Dorf Engelbrechtstatter. Sergeant Quinn! Look to the small arms van!
Yes, sir, it was!
Oh, well, this is a bit of luck, Mr. Dillon, is it not?
From not a fallen more happily, sir.
Mr. Watt, the top chains and pudding inks. But I see I don't need to tell you that.
Aye, sir.
Jack! Jack!
Mr. Morris! What is he?
Algerine quarter galley, sir. They've quartered the cat already.
Have they carried her?
Not yet, sir.
Good.
I think the Norwegians are holding out their close quarters.
Mr. Dillon?
Sir?
Signal the convoy to hold 2 points to leeward and reduce sail. Mr. Richards?
Yes, sir.
You must carefully note the time of everything now for the log.
What do we do?
Why, board them, of course. If the Norwegians can hold out that long. I hate firing into a galley at any rate. All those prisoner Christians for oarsmen.
I see.
Oh, by God, this is rare luck.
Oh, is it so?
Oh, I should tell you that. Here we are, guns warm and run out, freshly loaded, with a crew on tiptoe, and all cleared for action. Most excellent luck. Now, should you care to go below, or would you rather stay on deck?
Ah, well, as surgeon, I rather thought I'd go below.
No, you are my guest, my dear sir. Perhaps it would divert you better to go into maintop with a musket. Have a bang at the villain.
Oh, no. I deprecate violence. My part is to heal, just, or at least to kill with kindly intent. But let me take my sergeant's place below and begin my practice.
I hope that's what Archie is saying. It will comfort the men amazingly, all of us.
No! Oh, Jesus! Stop the bleeding!
Daniel.
Stop the bleeding!
Take the
bleeding
here, will you?
Bleed to death.
No, Doctor. The window! What's going on? Can you tell?
Oh,
somebody's taking a lot of hits anyway. I don't think it's the bastard Algerine, sir.
Oh, God!
How can a man so a neat flap with all this jarring bloody gunfire?
Lively with those starboard guns! How many ships?
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Dillon, is that gun into the bows yet?
Oh, God damn!
Killer, Kaiser! Bring me an old coat and another handkerchief.
Aye, aye, sir. Get along there with you! Move your ass! Oh, Jesus
Christ! Take that man below!
The bow station's ready, sir.
Are you hit, sir?
A scratch. By ear, nothing at all. What do you make of the galley?
Well, she's running away fast, but we're gaining, sir.
Will you get that man below?
Oh, God! Rule of a thunder who hadn't properly cleared his gun went off in his face as he ran down the new charge. Teach him.
We could do with one or two of their gunners. Cutting her, you say?
I believe so, sir.
She's leading us on. Spilling her wind.
Oh, no, sir, surely not.
See for yourself. She hopes to draw us from the convoy. Perhaps so her friends may snap up a half dozen more prizes. Masthead!
Huh?
Anything to windward?
Machine, bearing up the head of our convoy.
What do I say, Mr. Dillon?
Very good, sir.
Come, cheer up, my lads, for the fury and fame. For the thunder-filled fire, for the grape and the chain, for the blood-bolted hearts of oak heroes to be. Yes, we'll give all them bastards some fiddle-dee-dee, and corsairs will weep and cry like a day, for the moors will be lessened when Jack sails their way. You'll find never a pirate in all Algeria as can whack Lucky Jack on his fiddle-dee-dee.
Is it done then?
The engagement for so little.
But the Norwegian is safe.
If it hadn't been for the damn convoy, we should have taken that galley. Two good men killed. John Leggy with his bollock shot away. But that is a fine job of patching on him, Doctor.
Thank you. Let me look at your ear now.
And my poor Sophia, floating example of what superior gunnery can do.
You have the Norwegian safe.
The ship, yes.
And the crew?
Oh, it seems the Moors tossed them overboard.
Dear God.
Oh, the thing is not uncommon. These corsairs and those vile cutthroats.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
But it makes her a prize, you know, in that case. Not just a rescue.
Ah, a difference.
There. Oh, prodigious difference. You see, I have to tell you, the warrant officers have asked me that you might be cut into their share in acknowledgement.
Well, that is most generous. Mm.
It will mean £218.15, I hazard, to you.
And to you.
What is it, Mr. Dillon?
You will be glad to hear the Norwegians are all safe.
Safe? What?
That was our prize, that was.
The Norwegians are all safe. They hid in a secret place in their forepeak.
Oh, bugger their forepeak.
In their forepeak.
The bastards.
Silence, sir.
And the master says, could we send our surgeon aboard?
Why the surgeon, Mr. Dillon?
One of the Norwegians has hurt his toe, sir.
Oh, a hurt toe. I am £875 the poorer, and they have a hurt toe.
Mr. Dillon!
Yes, sir?
Tell the master from me he can take his man's toe and fill his ring with it.
By order of Sir James Samare, Baronet Admiral of the Blue,
God damn you,
Commander-in-Chief, this court-martial assembled and held on board His Majesty's ship Pompeii's
lawyer's babble
to inquire into the conduct of John Aubrey, commander of His Majesty's sloop the Sophie and her officers and company.
God damn you all.
Come, pretty young maiden, I've pleasure for you. I'll hymn the bold Sophie, her good man and true, and you'll scour the wide Mediterranean Sea. You'll bet her Jack Aubrey for fidelity, or the French she's curse and cry like a day. Their ships all afire when Jack sails away, and the girls they weep and pray for the sea to bring back lucky Jack and his fidelity.
Amen.
Amen.
I will read the Articles of War. For the better regulating of His Majesty's navies, ships of war, and forces by sea, whereupon, under the good providence of God, the wealth, safety, and strength of the kingdom chiefly depend, be it enacted, all flag officers and all persons in or belonging to His Majesty's ships or vessels of war, being guilty of profane oaths, cursings, execrations, drunkenness, uncleanliness, or other...
Come on, Henry! Drink it all up like a man!
Yes, good old evening, I tell you what.
They did laugh for the birthday boy.
Oh, you're too kind to me, mate, but I will accept your good wishes like I accept your gift. That's with thanks.
That's our man.
Very pretty speech, Henry.
So, here's to you all, and with pleasure.
Or other scandalous actions shall incur such punishment as a court martial shall think to impose.
The 4 days of coma have deepened to the ultimate point, Mr. Watt, in spite of my best efforts.
Well, that's a pity and a shame all round, then, Doctor. For Henry was a popular old boy amongst his messmates, and useful to yourself, too, I don't doubt.
Yes, for all his primitive faith on Ward's drop. So, I should be obliged to seek out a new love lolly boy. Now, tell me, just how much did you drink?
Enough, clearly.
I see. I've asked his friends already, but they give evasive answers, Mr. Watt. They lie, indeed.
Well, so they would, Doctor.
A lot of loyalty to him.
And to themselves. What they do on a man's birthday, you see, is against the law.
But how much did he drink?
Well, he was popular, our Henry Gouges. I dare say he had close to a whole allowance. About a quart.
Oh, that's a great deal, sure, but I'm surprised that it should kill a man.
That's an admixture of 3 to 1, 6 ounces or so of spirits. Inebriating, certainly, but hardly fatal.
Lord, Doctor, that ain't the mixture. That's the rum.
A quart? A quart of neat rum?
Well, yes. See, to each man is half a pint a day, which is a quart to each mess for dinner and for supper. And that's what the water's added to.
Half a pint of neat spirit for every man, every day?
Of course. Oh, dear me. If they was only to get half a pint of 3 water grog, we should soon have a bloody mutiny in our hands. And quite right, too.
If any officer, mariner, soldier, or other person in the fleet shall strike any of his superior officers, draw, or offer to draw, or lift up any weapon against them, being convicted thereof, shall suffer death.
Captain, allow me to offer you an arm slice of this thing.
With the greatest of pleasure. And while you serve it, Mr. Dillon, I must ask your indulgence for speaking of a service matter at your table.
By all means.
Gentlemen, I have some news which I believe will please you.
Oh, yes.
The Admiral gives us a cruise on our own down to Cape Nea.
Why, that is splendid news.
Hear, hear.
And I have prevailed upon Dr. Madgerin here to stay aboard.
Thank you.
No better man to stir us up when the violence of the King's enemies tear us apart. And I have your order to the effect, Doctor, written in Lord Keith's own hand, which is something I never heard of before in all my years.
This must be wedded, sir.
3 bottles of port there, Killick, and bumpers all round.
What is it, Mr. Barrington?
If you please, sir.
Yes, Mr. Barrington.
A sail to Lurd, sir. A felucca.
Where away?
2 points. 3 points on the beam, sir. The sheets all are flying. Mr. Watt reckons she's in distress.
I should say she's from Tangier, sir. Tetuan, maybe. The western end of the coast, aye.
There's a body on the deck. Do you see, Doctor?
Mr. Watt, let some men stand by to boom her off as we come close.
Aye, aye, sir.
That man in the square hole died of plague.
Keep us full.
Are you quite sure of what you say?
Certainly. I'll just make up a bag and then go across. There may be some survivors.
Mr. Dillon!
Can be done.
We'll get the starboard tacks aboard.
Starboard tacks, sir.
What? You mean to sail? Sail away from that ship?
There.
Directly.
But there may be survivors.
There is the plague.
No, I insist upon a boat.
My dear sir,
I protest! I insist upon a boat!
Listen to me. You really may not, I'm afraid. Nor insist, nor protest. It is mutiny, sir, and you would be obliged to be hanged.
You will not let me go.
If you were to set foot on that deck, even if you did not bring contagion back with you, half the hands here would die of fright.
Fools!
And on our return from Marne, we should find ourselves 40 mortal bloody days on the quarantine island.
So, you will leave that poor ship offering no assistance?
Yes, sir.
Upon your own head. Be it then.
That, sir, is why here I am master and commander.
Spoke Felucca, and 3:15, tacked. PM moderate and clear. Up topgallant masts. Opened port cask number 113, partially spoiled. At 7, saw strange sail to westward. Made sail in chase.
Allow me to fill your glass, Doctor.
Ah. It is a healthy, laborative beverage.
Better than our ordinary, I believe.
Mm. Oh, better, dear Joy, and very, very much stronger. A neat pirato.
Most uncommon neat. To our first prize.
I give you joy of it with all my heart. You are very happy about it, are you not?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Doctor. It makes a world of difference. Hits at the enemy, which is deprived by our actions of L'Aimable Louise, her corn and general merchandise, and this excellent prior... why?
A priorato. From behind Tarragona.
Just so. Yeah. It bloods the men, as one may say, and it gives me room to spread my elbows a little.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, certainly. I'm persuaded our prize agent would advance us 100 guineas for L'Aimable Louise, and with that, I can distribute 60 or 70 to our crew, and buy us some gunpowder at last.
And if you give money to the men, they'll catch a pox with it. I'll drink.
crack theirs and others' heads in fours and fights.
What could be better for them?
They'll run away. You have often spoken against the great evil of desertion.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't understand them, Doctor.
Well, it would be hard to surpass my ignorance of His Majesty's Navy, sir.
The Sophies have prize money due to them now, and a strong notion of more to come. They won't desert.
Is it so simple a thing to buy a seaman's loyalty?
Yes! They're not officers. Oh, you shouldn't suppose I don't know how they've been muttering. And yes, I've driven them precious hard, exercising the great guns every other day. Well, now they'll feel there is some point in it.
So that should put them in better heart and compensate for some of the corporal damage caused by their celebrations ashore.
You shall see how things improve. I don't despair of making our gunnery even as dangerous to others as it is to ourselves, given time.
Stop your fight!
I do believe she's going to strike.
But the first warning shot.
It's very strange.
Yes, a tribute then to your improved gunnery, Mr. Dillon.
Hardly that, Doctor.
Yes, here we are. Quite a flurry of signals of surrender.
Mr. Dillon, will you lead a party to board her and take possession, if you please?
At once, sir.
Strange behavior, but she seemed to be keeping no lookout at all.
Well, was she not deceived by our own flying of the French tricolour?
No, that may be, Doctor, but three-fourths of the ships on this ocean are sailing under false colours. One merely has to be wary.
But it's not very heinous to fly an enemy's flag.
Oh, you think we should all the time proclaim our loyalty to King George and lose thereby any hope of a prize? We show our colours at the last moment forby, which is honourable. And before ever we fire a gun, that's justice.
Still
and all. Oh, if this citoyen Durand is so badly captained that she cannot notice us before we've closed to a mile of water.
You are exact, Mr. Marshal. She has served our right. Then to see this unmanly panic. Surrender at the first warning shot. I should expect a damn good excuse from any man under me behaving so.
Heaven.
Oh, mon lieutenant, je vous prie.
Dr. Mathurin is coming across in the boat now.
Doctor, vous passez on
this. Thank God, God for putting us up. That poor woman is dying. Oui, monsieur. Notre doctor arrive vite.
Oh, bon Dieu, qu'il soit loué, le bon Dieu.
Well, that will be in good hands at least. Now, Mr. Day, this powder...
No wonder the poor woman's life has come on. The freight has been aboard this floating bomb.
Ah, oui, ah, oui, vraisemblablement. C'est une bombe. Mais c'est comme vous voyez, mon lieutenant. Nous n'avons point... Nous n'avons point... Monsieur, monsieur, si vous allez chercher votre femme...
Oh, mon lieutenant...
Can you blame him not wanting to go to her?
It's his baby.
What a pretty kettle of fish is this. And you who have to take this half-seaworthy magazine back as a prize to man. Who'll give you joy of it, Mr. Dillon?
The whole thing is mad. Have you seen the barrels of gunpowder on the deck? Just one tarpaulin over them. One spark. Madness.
That's a folly. No wonder they struck at our first shot. Lord love us. What a terrible cry!
It is over.
I hope,
Oh, yes. Yes. A perfectly straightforward delivery. A long night of it, perhaps, but Captain Le Mercier has a son.
I must give him my best congratulations at once.
Oh, no need. They're all asleep. Shattered and destroyed would be nearer the mark.
Thank God that bloody noise has stopped. Dreadful, unremitting.
You know, I have looked forward to this time with a great impatience.
And I?
Oh, you know what I mean. When at last we have a first opportunity of speaking to each other, I find that there is little to be said.
Perhaps nothing at all.
You were shocked, James, when we met again.
I don't believe you've met Dr. Maturin to be our new surgeon.
Ready to haul away!
Mr. Dillon, I'm very pleased to make your acquaintance.
Roy! Mr. Boy!
Servant, sir.
Thank you, look unwell.
Nothing.
I was unprepared for the meeting. It was a long time since I had last seen you. At Dr. Emmett's, wasn't it?
No. It was at Rathfarnham. Just after the meeting of the committee.
You were a favorite with Lord Edward Fitzgerald, weren't you?
Oh, no. Not by them. That afternoon, I had spent more spirit than ever in my life. Against him. To save him.
Stephen, Stephen. Your objections are not to any purpose, you know. With or without you, the rising will be.
Then it must be without me.
You were ever on the moderate side.
I am opposed to violence, Edward. Always I have been. See how the revolution in France has already gone to pure loss and wicked brute folly. And cruelty beyond all.
Look. There's a red breast in the yew tree.
Oh, God, Edward. Hear me for the love of all. Your United Irishmen are betrayed before they are begun.
Then we must make an end the quicker.
Erin Dobra!
Fire!
And was it terrible?
Terrible. Blundering, delay, confusion, murder, stupidity. Nothing accomplished. So many good men dead. The rest of defeated, hunted remnants. Independence delayed 100 years. A whole new vile race spawned out of informers who might make us a prey for blackmail at any time.
Do you still fear any vulgar betrayal?
Well, I place no value upon my skin, James. But you?
Thank God I was at the Cape.
Yes, it was pitiful. We had such ideas. Liberty. Oh, yes. The words seemed to glow with meaning in those days.
And now?
I would not cross this deck for nations or causes.
Patriotism will not do.
That's the word. Which comes to mean my country right or wrong, which is infamous. Or my country is always right, which is imbecile.
And yet you stopped Captain Aubrey the other day when he tried to play Croppy's Lie Down?
Oh, I'm not consistent, of course. Who is? But he didn't know the meaning of the tune, you know.
Did he not?
There were Irish sailors within hearing. It would have been a pity to have them hate Jack Aubrey when no manner of insult was within the reach of his mind.
I suppose he has never been to Ireland. He could not know.
No. Well, the tune is also very disagreeable to me, sir.
And you are, by contrast, very fond of Captain Aubrey, are you not?
Am I? Oh, yes, perhaps I am. Though I haven't known him long. But I am very attached to him, yes. I'm sorry that you are not.
I am sorry, too. I came willing to be pleased, but feelings are not to command, are they?
There was a time James Dillon was a delightful being. Odd, sad to see him now closing in. How cheerfulness goes. That is authority, of course. The implacable enemy of all gaiety of mind, all natural free springing joy. And he's become a Catholic, which he used not to be. I wonder if he is now settling into that particular course he will never leave again. Mercurial as he always was. But several octaves down, and in an ever darker key.
Dr. Massarin?
I would give so much to bring in friends with Jack Aubrey, but I fear...
Dr. Massarin, sir!
What is it, Mr. Barrington? Has my longed-for specimen case arrived at last?
No, sir. It's the Sophie.
In the harbour?
Just beyond the point, sir.
And another vessel with her.
A Spanish tartan. A third prize, it must be.
The whole port will be filled with Jack Aubrey's captures before long.
But more to the purpose, sir. The whole crew will be filled with desire for kicking up a dust ashore. And money in their pockets to do it with.
Then let us hope they don't suffer too much for it later.
One. Two.
It's all very well.
Three.
This amount of drunkenness is beyond expectation.
Four.
Either they're getting into the spirit room or some son of a bitch has a store of liquor aboard. And I hesitate from running out the guns for practice for fear that some tipsy fool might get his foot crushed by a recoil or his face in front of a muzzle.
11.
It is more than is right.
12.
And if there was any justice on earth, Cross, you would have had 24. A gunner's mate for shame. May that learn you to stay sober.
I doubt.
All right, take him away.
I know, boy. Come on.
So, you were drunk, were you?
I dare say I must have been. Tis awful strong, that grog of theirs.
Still and all, what made you tell them your trade?
It ain't probably a trade, Doctor. It is a calling. But I never thought they might be so much a dread of it. Honest, I didn't.
It is their fear that is killing you, Chester. Do you understand that? Now, I will order you some soup, and you must get it down now.
Thank you, sir, I'm sure. There's no relish to my meat these days, sir.
You will grow very ill if you do not eat,
sir. Doctor, even if you was to order me soup, sir, I doubt the others would let me eat it.
Oh, I thought...
It's your port, Mr. Dillon.
A sin eater?
It would seem so.
I thought it was a tail just nowadays.
Oh, no. Cheston is and has been a sin eater, in reality. Of singular service to his fellow men and women in his time.
He's certainly no good to man the beast since he came aboard as Sophie.
Well, even less so now. He is dying of inanition. Or will soon, unless I can stir his torpor. It seems that the seamen look upon Cheston's calling in a more awful light than other people.
Mm.
Now not one of the hands will allow him to eat or sleep near them.
They'll abide a great deal, sailors, but not a Jonah. I suppose you did the same as they do in Ireland.
Yes, I believe so. When a man died, the family would send for the sin-eater. There would be a piece of bread on the dead man's breast. Cheston would eat it.
Take the man's sins upon himself by that.
Yes. And then they would thrust a piece of silver into his hand and chase him away, spitting on him and stoning him.
Why in God's name did he ever volunteer for the Navy? He wasn't a pressed man.
And I conceive he was tired of being a scapegoat.
So much for that.
Well, I will not lose a patient because of sailors' prejudices. We shall put him to lie out of harm's way, and if he recovers enough, he may become my new loblolly boy.
Oh, recommendation indeed. Your first assistant drinks himself to death. You take for your second a man shunned by all hands. On my life, Doctor. You keep strange company.
Sir? Beg pardon, Captain Aubrey.
Oh, hush, sweetheart.
Wake up, sir, if you please.
What? Oh, what is it, Mr. Babington?
Mr. Dillon says top lights in the offing, sir. Perhaps two frigates.
French, Spanish, or Iran?
I wouldn't care to say, sir. They're coming up fast, whatever they are.
Yeah, we'd best clear for Ashton, Mr. Babington. Prepare a warm reception for them, whoever they are.
By God, Captain Aubrey, you take your time.
I beg pardon, sir.
However, I'm quite glad of our meeting. We find ourselves overburdened with prisoners here on the San Fiorenzo. I mean to discharge 50 of them into you.
I'm sorry, sir. Truly sorry.
You are not in a position to be sorry, Captain Aubrey.
I'm simply not able to oblige you.
You will oblige me, sir, by obeying orders. They're unaware of who's the senior captain here.
Sir, the Sophie is crowded with prisoners already.
You think I don't know damn well that you've been sending prize crews back into Marne? These 50 can occupy their room.
But, sir...
I will hear no more of it.
But what about my crew, sir?
I'm less concerned with your crews, Captain Aubrey, than with the good of the service. And in any event, I have further orders for you.
Mr. Dillon!
Sir...
Dr. Maturin will be staying a few days aboard the San Fiorenzo.
I'll have the cutter made ready, sir.
And he will return with 25 prisoners from each of those frigates.
Where do you wish me to put them, sir?
I'll think of somewhere. And then we are ordered to join in a sweep to catch some rebels.
How many?
Two. Under French passports on an American ship, the John B. Christopher.
What are their names?
There is a Romish priest called Mangan.
Mangan.
And the other fellow by the name of Patrick Roach.
Rebels?
United Irishmen.
Are you straight, James?
I am.
How straight?
As straight as a rush.
How will you grow?
In truth, in trust, in unity and liberty.
What is in your hand?
A green bough.
Where did it first grow?
In America.
Where did it bud?
In France.
Where will you plant it?
In the crown of Great Britain.
The king. God bless him.
The king. The king.
Yes, the king. God bless him.
Mr. Dillon.
What?
Forgive me, sir, but is it not your watch tonight?
Is it your suggestion, Mr. Marshall, that I should not be drinking?
I wouldn't presume.
I find nothing in my commission, sir, that says I must take orders as to my conduct from any warrant officer aboard this group.
It's been a long day.
Mr. Marshall?
Sir?
Is something amiss?
No, sir.
They're making very little sail.
Yes, sir.
And very little way. And, of course, east, not east by east.
Sir, this is my entire responsibility. I overruled the master and ordered the helm put up.
Mr. Dillon believes there is a ship on the starboard bow.
So I took the liberty of reducing sail, sir.
The John B. Christopher?
I think it may be, sir.
Well, your eyes are good, Mr. Dillon. Whose watch is it?
Mine, sir.
Ahoy aloft!
Hello!
What do you see to starboard?
Not a thing, sir! A star, no more!
Are you quite persuaded about your ship, Mr. Dillon?
Fully persuaded, sir. Quite happy.
Happy, are you?
Come, cheer up, me lads, 'tis the glory we steer. To our friends we'll bring joy, into rebels strike fear. Ah, the black hearts will hate us, the faint hearts shall flee, and we'll give all our sweethearts some fiddle-dee-dee. Oh, the news cross all the ocean shall ring, of the Sophie victorious, and God save the king. And the girls will swoon through all the navy, at the crack of our jack and his fiddle-dee-dee.
Well done, Mr. Dillon. Well done indeed. Precisely the John B. Christopher. Couldn't have fallen in with her better.
Yes, sir.
You shall go. After all, you discovered her. I should never have believed she might be here. Should you like to see the printed papers again of the men we're sweeping for?
Sir.
Perhaps Mr. Marshall had better go in your stead. Pass the word there for Mr. Marshall.
No. Sir, no. I beg your pardon, sir. It was momentary. I'm perfectly well.
Very well, Mr. Dillon.
Perhaps I should beg for those descriptions, sir, and as we pull across, I will refresh my memory.
Ah, my memory is green, Lieutenant Dillon.
And mine, James.
It was by chance we came across you.
Ill chance.
I did all in my power. Breached all discipline, changed our course, reduced sail.
Still, you found us.
Yes.
So now, Lieutenant.
Yes.
Are you straight?
All the passports examined, sir.
Good, good.
And no such passengers aboard as our rebels.
So much the better. Godspeed to you, sir!
And you, Captain Aubrey!
West to half south, Mr. Marshall!
West to half south, sir.
And we may house our guns down, if you please.
In champion, sir!
Dillon, come and breakfast with me. You're still looking most ghastly pale, you know.
You must excuse me, sir. I am a little out of order.
Now, Captain Aubrey, I have to ask you if you have any reason to find fault with any of your officers or ship's company.
No, sir. None. I beg leave to tell the court that the utmost endeavour was used by every person under my command.
At all times?
At all times, sir. And in all places.
What a difference there is to observe in our shipmates. Now they have prize money, I mean.
Oh, they're friends to all now. Playing ducks and drakes for the amusement of those local urchins.
Yeah. curiously, silver the missiles they skim, or... Oh, I see why.
Well, you wouldn't expect the boys to die for stones, Doctor, would you?
Mm. I find it strange to expend so much sweat and blood in order to gain their prizes.
Our prizes.
And what do they do with their wealth? Disperse it in the most compendious fashion known to man.
Whereas you, Stephen, you have put all your share to the highest use. Your glass, your watch.
And a new coat, as you instructed me, to wear to Mrs. Hart's route this afternoon, and some expenditure upon the most efficacious of physics.
Tell me, what do you think of this?
Paste. For a sweetheart.
Do you think it would do?
No.
Oh, well, no. It's not really for... I meant it for another.
Captain and surgeon and ordinary seamen alike. We all use our prize money to buy our friendships.
Come, you pretty young maid, here's a tale to be told of love and of laughter, of seas running gold. For I'll sing the bold story which brave company never flinch, nor from fights, nor from fiddly-dee. Oh, the girls, they weep and cry like a day, for their harbors all empty when Jack sails away. And they'll all be surely lining the quay when the Sophie sails home for some fiddly-dee.
Hey there, Mr. Babington.
Having a good time there, are you?
Get out of the way and let me jump.
Get out of here, that's meals in it.
What do you want? Money, what do any of them ever want?
You'll find out, sir, I don't know.
She's already had my lot.
I wager she has.
Take a know you got and then some, I shouldn't want that.
You think they're going to let me drop safe or no?
What hell's they... going on here? Huh? You men.
Up here, bosun.
You'd best be jumping now, Mr. Babington, before she hauls you back in for some more.
What do you think you're about? An overdone embarrassment. You're laughing.
Medic, please, folks.
Money, or I cut him now.
Mr. Watts!
Watts! We can't have this wearer of His Majesty's uniform threatened with a Spanish knife, can we?
Come down, sir! She's still got
my money!
Is this an act of war?
It is, by God. We should say it is.
Well, then, let us engage the enemy more closely!
Then I shall have another copito of aguardiente. No, wait, mercy, querido. I have something for you.
Oh, I have seen, and I don't wish to know.
No, 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 no. Look, this is for you.
Why?
Don't you like it?
Why?
Oh, do you know how happy you can make me? Felix.
No, 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 Capitano. No. You shouldn't have to cruise away. You will forgive me, Mercedes.
Oh, mercy, querido. I wish you knew half as much about the Spanish sailings as you do about ours.
I have a hunty that knows a great deal.
Take these. They're for you.
Oh, I must not.
Oh, it's not a bargain, mercy. Try them.
But you won't. What?
Your auntie.
Capitano! Oh, so many thank yous.
Can you show me to your auntie who knows a great deal?
She is no pretty.
Damned attractive woman.
Our hostess, sir?
I'm Molly Hart, the Pearl of Minorca.
Oh, she may be a little flawed in the heart, eh, gentlemen?
That's not a way to speak of a lady, or man.
Or maybe the lucky Jack knows our pearl better than so easily.
I'd be most unlikely to tell, even if it were true.
It would surely be most unwise.
Oh, aye. Many a promising career has been known to founder on a woman's affection.
That's a Lee Shaw, Aubrey.
Besides, do I not hear of her casting an eye over that Colonel Pitt?
What? The damn lobster.
So we've smoked you out, Jack. You can't deny it now.
Well, so I won't then.
You're as quick to flame as your crew, Aubrey.
You mean that business in the town?
No, no, no. A trollop or two mishandled. That's neither here nor there. Mind you, the Sophies always did used to be a quiet, decent sort of men ashore.
And now they have two pennies to rub together. And so...
Well, the fact is the kick-up bobs are dying like, I don't know,
like a set of mad baboons.
Oh, I think you malign that worthy primate, sir. Now, the pongo, I grant you, is a different case.
They beat it through, my cousin, Barge, you know, most savagely. And all upon the absurd pretense of having a physician aboard for ship surgeon.
Ah, so it's your fault, Doctor.
Their two pennies have driven them out of their wits, so they have.
Are you truly a physician, then, sir?
Well, I have never. Yes, I am.
And then I wonder if I may ask you...
By all means, sir.
A delicate matter. Difficulty in digesting even the simplest provisions. It seems to be some form of dyspepsia.
Well, that is very possible.
But it has baffled the faculty here for years, Doctor, for years.
Really?
Oh, for years. They despaired of a cure, even. But I feel sure it will yield to your superior powers. And now, I confess to finding some new trouble in evacuation.
Fritz, a yard long.
Oh, dear.
Goodness, I should be taking my...
Look out, Albert. Henry's top master, lad.
What? Oh, I see him.
Come, my
you needn't be hurrying for it, lady. The men won't be allowed off the sloop till the evening gun.
It is a very singular, interesting case, is it not?
Indeed, Captain Nevin. You must remember to give me the complete exact details
of
some...
Dr. Maturin. Captain Nevin, my dear sir, I'm sure you will forgive me.
No, Mrs. Hart, most
certainly. Please, Dr. Maturin, please take your friend away. Tell him his ship is on fire. Tell him anything.
Well, I think he's drunk.
It doesn't matter. I beg you, get him away. He is going to do himself such damage.
It must above all be cut thin, Dr. Maturin.
Yes.
Beef, if it is to save a well.
There's no edge to this.
Try the catling.
Where have we left it? Oh, indoors, I think. Beside the young lady, I think. Aye, of course. Here it is.
Ah, such a blaze.
Swedish steel, no doubt.
Mm.
And I observe you made your first cut into it at the Hippocratic Point, Mr. Florey.
I did. Perhaps we should wash the knife?
Oh, no, wife will do. No. Now, what did you reckon the cause of her death?
Ah, that is a nice point. But I rather incline to the view that the battering given her did its business before the water. Oh, well, if you provide a man with horns, he may gore you with them.
And now, Mr. Florey, do you suppose me to believe you're throwing out a generality there?
Well, no, no.
We've been practicing medicine together too long for that.
The point is... Our young friend, fortunate, the fair...
Captain Aubrey, in short, yeah.
He has been very indiscreet, so has the lady.
Ah, I follow you.
The husband resents it, and a port commandant is in a position to indulge that. He'll not ask for a meeting. He's a pitiful fellow, in truth. But he may try to entrap our friend into some act of disobedience.
And so bring him to a court-martial.
That'll be the style of the man.
There are times when it seems to me that nothing would answer in Jack's case... Short of a radical ablation of the membrane virile.
Yes, that is very generally the peccant part.
Damn pleasure to be at sea again. Do you not feel like a badger in a barrel ashore?
No, not in the least. Yet I'm glad to see you happy now.
I fear we none of us did ourselves good in Port Mahon.
That is an acute statement.
Damn scrub of a port commandant. Captain Hart coming the old jarvey with his bloody fool orders. Oh, far better to be at sea. Every man knows his place and his duty.
Every man. To king and country, right enough.
Did I tell you about Nelson ever?
Oh, you know him then?
Well, I had the honor of serving under him at the Nile.
Your silver medal?
Yes, but I also dined twice in his company.
And what kind of man is he, then?
Oh, he's... Well, you would take to him directly, I'm sure. He's very slight, you know. Frail. I could pick him up with one hand, but no disrespect, I mean.
No.
But, you know, he is such a very great man. There's something in your philosophy called an electrical particle, isn't it?
A charged atom of a sort, yes.
That's Nelson. He spoke to me at each dinner. The first time it was to say...
May I trouble you for the salt, sir?
May I trouble you for the salt, sir? I have ever since said it as close as I can to his way. You may have noticed.
No.
Well, you wouldn't. You weren't there, of course.
Well, I will from now on, sure.
But the second, I was trying to make my neighbour understand our naval tactics, weather gauge, breaking the line and so on, but he was a soldier.
You might as well have tried explaining them to me.
Well, in a pause, Nelson leant over to us with such a smile, and he said,
"Never mind manoeuvres, always go at 'em."
I shall never forget that.
Good advice.
Never mind manoeuvres, always go at 'em. Oh, yes. Ah, that's my beautiful girl, yeah. Now, steady now. Gently. Oh, gently. Oh, that is so good.
Sodomy on a goat.
Aye, there's a service for you. Boomkins of Taffrail. I have to sign away a man's life now, and for what?
Oh, it is odd how the law was harped on about sodomy. He'll be hanged, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Run up the yardarm and boats attending from every ship in the fleet.
Well, that seems a little extreme.
Well, that's the Navy. Stock and fluke. And we shall have to suffer the court-martial first. The Sophie made a laughing stock. Oh, why will the men report these things?
Because they've been so often told it's an unnatural crime.
A nanny goat, too. I mean, he could have. Wilson always was a contrary bugger. Well, the goat will have to be slaughtered.
Well, the animal's blameless, sure.
I'll have it killed in order that it may be served up to Wilson's messmates. They informed upon him, so that's for justice.
Could you not just save yourself the trouble and embarrassment of a court martial?
No, Doctor. The articles of war.
Well, set them both ashore. Wilson and the goat, on separate parcels of land, if you have strong feelings on the moral issue.
What?
Well, then you could sail quietly away.
Well, perhaps there is something in what you propose.
Is it safe here, Captain? Doctor?
Oh, yeah, I will gladly.
You take milk, sir?
Goat's milk, is it?
I suppose it is, isn't it, Gillen?
Certainly, sir.
Yeah, well, perhaps then without the milk, if you please.
You know, there are times, Doctor...
Oh, I beg to insist, that is a knife.
So it is. I was going to say that I understand your partiality for our yellow-haired master and commander sometimes, even though I can't bring myself to share it.
That is your bishop gone, I'm afraid.
No matter. Jack Aubrey derives a greater pleasure from a smaller stream of wit than any man I've ever known.
Well, that's not why I like him, James.
No, I know. I do try, but... I will tell you this much. I think his encouragement of that fellow Marshal is indecent, not to use a grosser word.
Do I follow you now?
You know that the man is a pederast.
Maybe.
He is enamoured of Captain Aubrey. Toils like a galley slave, would hold his own the deck if allowed. Anything for a smile from him.
True. But you don't believe Jack Aubrey shares the Master's tastes?
No. But I do think he's aware of them, that he encourages the man.
Well, you're mistaken, James. He has no knowledge of it. Some ways, you know, he's not really very sharp. I did once make a circuitous attempt at enlightening him a little. He just looked very knowing at me and said...
Don't tell me about rears and vices, Doctor. I've been in the Navy since I was breached. I know.
Then surely he must be wanting a little in penetration.
Oh, James... I trust there was no mens rea in that remark.
Did you hear? While we're at Marne, there may be some danger of peace.
Do not think of it.
Well, I hope to God we may see a touch of real action before it's too late. I'm curious to know what you will think of it. You, the professed abominator of violence.
But don't I, of course? Don't we both?
Most men find the reality of battle entirely unlike what they had expected. Like love, in that?
Oh?
Yes, very disappointing. And yet you cannot wait to be starting again.
You'll find it so?
It's your move, you know.
I'm perfectly aware of it. Would you not say we had seen any action then?
What, our scuffles to this day? I was thinking, Doctor, of something on a rather larger scale.
My God, Mr. Marshall. You are a prime navigator. You deserve to be master of the whole fleet.
Aye, thank you, Captain Audrey. Coming from you, that is a prodigious compliment, sir.
Dr. Madrin, see here what our excellent master has done for us.
And I confess, I see little more than yet another tub of a merchantman. Is it a great feat of navigation?
Oh, yes,
Panther?
Yes, most certainly. Last night's storm and all.
Oh, well, I never will understand, it's true.
She's a tartan, Doctor. Four guns and short-handed.
And should we take her?
She has a disagreeably careless air, a neutral, I should guess.
Should you now, Mr. Dillon?
The other cook joins in her manoeuvres.
Did you hope for something better?
No, sir.
You shall have your dust up some other day. And when we do, Dr. Maturin, you shall see how it stretches your mind. Your black drafts and bloodletting are nothing to it. Rhubarb and senna. Mr. Marshall!
Aye, sir.
When the tartan next prepares to tack, we'll heave out staysails and set to guns.
Aye, aye, sir.
Then Mr. Day may put a shot across her forefoot, and we'll take a look at what she's got.
All the enemy cries as we sweep the sea clear, yet the innocent sailor's got nothing to fear, but discover some counterfeit neutrality, and we'll give the bold faker some fiddly-dee. Oh, the guns will blaze and Jack win the day, and the enemy burning for mercy shall pray, and they'll need at least a 73, and they whack lucky Jack on his fiddly-dee.
You wouldn't be trying to deceive us, would you now?
What do you mean, sir?
Baptiste, light along this Ragusan's captain, will you?
Aye, aye, Mr. Marshal, sir.
Now, look you here, pretty madam. When His Majesty's men of war cross the tartan in the Barcelona way...
Ragusa, Vampo, Ragusa!
Oh, aye, as you say. And also that you're in ballast, which we can see is not the truth, is it now?
Vampo, Ragusa, neutral!
I think not.
You take it right, and neutral, you find love. Not so. I know.
Oh, not you, Signore Marshal. Oh, my coat, a bye. Listen to me.
Lipper,
I see, Mr. Marshal. He is no Ragusa.
Let's take a look at the ship's papers, shall we, madam?
That's not you, Davy. No.
Oh, damned lucky bastard.
John Baptist, you reckon, or that codpiece fellow from the foretop?
It'll not be Mr. Marshall giving it her, will it?
Oh, not with old Sodom and Gomorrah so sweet on our Goldilocks.
Mr. Marshall! What did you do to that woman? Knocked her down, sir! You knocked her down? Aye, sir! Tartan's no more a Ragusan than I am, sir. Captain talks no Italian at all, says Baptist. Lingua franca only. And Mrs. has a Spanish set of papers in her pinny. What of the cargo? The hold's crammed full of bales, sir. Consigned to Genoa! Fair Chrysler, and no neutral!
Very well done, Mr. Marshall!
Very well indeed.
What an infamous and brutal thing to do, strike a woman.
You wait till you're married, Mr. Dillon.
Send over the prisoners, if you please, Mr. Marshall!
Aye, sir!
To think that we have to mess with such a man as would do that.
Mr. Dillon, pick some steady hands. The prize crew.
Aye, aye, sir. Rain on the way.
Oh, gunfire.
Mr. Marshall, we shall have to part company presently. It will not worry you, I hope, to look after the woman.
I don't.
I know you don't, Mr. Marshall.
Well, Lieutenant, it seems you may have your dust up today after all.
Well shot, men!
I do believe that she's going to try to fall, sir.
You think so?
Look at her yaw, by God!
board us, Mr. Dillon.
Bonjour,
with our mizzen yet coming down. You have stuck a rudder, headman. Well shot indeed.
Why, Mr. Bear, you sail off, sir. She must.
Sure,
that's right, sir.
He may not think so. You can never tell what a privateer may do. You will stand as gun captain in his stead, Mr. Dillon.
Aye, sir, at once.
Starboard guns, all of us down. Up two spokes the wheel there.
Aye, sir. Up two spokes the wheel.
Now, on the roll, prime, fire is a bear. Fire!
Ah, Captain Aubrey. I have a grave complaint to make.
I'm concerned to hear it.
They have been at my ass.
Who has been where?
I tell you, sir, they have been at my ass. Now, 3 minutes ago, I stepped into my cabin for a book. What did I see? My ass. Drained. Drained, I say.
Drained, you say?
I brought it aboard, preserved in the best double-refined spirits of wine, and now some criminal has taken the jar, drunk up all the alcohol, and left my most perfect specimen of viper aspis dry, stranded, parched.
Oh, dear.
And the bloody man, the more than hun, the Scottish referee, will not even die for it.
No?
No. The spirits were too good for that. There is no justice.
And you, the mildest of men. But you see, that is what action does to you.
Action? This is not because of some
faulty
engagement.
Well, it is over, Doctor. We are victorious. A pretty little seven-gun Spanish privateer. Philip Cinqueo. Very satisfactory.
Well, I'm glad to see you so happy.
Not for much longer, I suppose. You see, I am come here now for the butcher's bill.
Now, Mr. Day here has a depressed cranial fracture. Those of you close enough can perhaps notice the characteristic stertor. Chesson has already shaved the head. And you can see here where the falling block first struck the occipital bone. Now, with a knife, you would be well advised to watch on, Mr. Barrington. It will be most instructive. You shall see the gunner's brain, my dear sir. Or at least his dura mater. Now, with the skin away, I may begin to have the top off his skull with my saw. And then, we shall be able to consider the use of the trepine.
Very sprightly, Doctor. Very agile. Did you notice my bowing in the pump, pump, pump?
Oh, I did indeed. You contrived to strike neither the hanging shelf nor yet the lamp. I only grazed the locker once, my
dear. I believe the great thing is not to think of it. Those fellows now, when we engaged the privateer, running their guns in and out, clapping onto the tackles, sponging, swabbing, ramming, they don't think about it anymore. Quite mechanical. I'm really proud of them. The merest parcel of lubbers to begin with, I do assure you.
You've been wonderfully earnest in making them proficient.
Well, there was not a moment to be lost.
Still and all, do you not find this sense of constant hurry oppressive? Jading?
No. Dr. Hurry is as much a part of our lives as salt pork. Anything can happen in 5 minutes' time at sea.
But in this case of gunnery...
Why, a single broadside can bring down a mast and so win a fight. And there's no knowing when we may need to fire it. Oh, you should hear Lord Nelson tell it.
You have a great attachment to him, do you not?
Oh, by God, yes. Though nothing in that way, you know.
Oh, I know. What is it in the Articles of War? If any person in the fleet shall commit the unnatural and detestable sin...
Yes, but I must confess I don't like to see a man hanged for it. I said that to...
To whom?
Oh, before I first came aboard the Sophie... I'd just received my orders that morning. Paid a visit to the man was lieutenant under Captain Allen. He told me something about Mr. Marshall.
Fine navigator. And I dare say a most excellent man.
But...
I don't know what you think about this buggery lark, sir, but I say it's unnatural.
Well, there is something in that, Mr. Voldick, as an opinion.
Oh, yes.
No, it's not in my line. The ship's boys, I suppose.
No, I don't say he does anything. Not now.
And then he said he didn't like to speak ill of a man behind his back. But for the good of the service...
Oh, right enough. How many slanders have been accepted? How many blackmails prosecuted for that great good?
You've not noticed...
I see no danger to Mr. Marshall. On my honor. Though I have noticed he skips like a young colt at a word of praise from your lips, Captain.
Oh, no. No. Oh, no. No.
My dear Jack.
Well, bad news.
My father.
Well, the general is ill.
Brain sick.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Look.
Remarriage, my boy. It carries with it the most enormous of advantages. The great conveniency of a woman to supervise the housekeeping, the desirability of the marriage state from all points of view.
From all points of view, you mark.
Particularly from that of society.
Ah, a stepmother for you.
Stepmother younger than myself.
Oh, dear.
Give it here. The difference between not quite 64 and 20-odd is of very little consequence. Oh, damn it. He's so ancient. And then am I to lose my place as his son?
Oh, you mean another child to him?
Well, what do you think as a physician? I mean, is the thing possible?
Well, it's not inconceivable.
My dear Jack, how glad I am to see you.
Molly!
Take care.
What?
The servants.
Well, you can come out from behind the table, notwithstanding.
Does it look well for dinner?
Well, I suppose so, yes.
Colonel Pitt will be here.
Pitt?
I rode out with him this morning.
Did you? Don't know how you manage it in this heat.
That's exactly what my husband always says.
Oh?
Will your friend Dr. Maturin be coming to dinner?
I believe so. I left him observing some of the amorous behaviour of some praying mantises.
Oh?
Yes, it seems that the female devours the male.
After or instead of?
During, he tells me.
How particularly interesting, Jack.
Oh, you know I would do anything to give you pleasure.
The servants.
The summer house tonight.
And disposé.
Oh.
I'm so sorry, Jack.
Come now, Captain Aubrey, to the statement of your position in or about 40 minutes west, 37 degrees, 40 minutes north. Is that correct?
It is, sir. In sight of Cape Rogue.
And you're in that place in pursuance of your orders?
Yes, sir.
Might it not be suggested, Captain Aubrey, that you found yourself in those waters, those dangerous waters, by cause of a desire in you to seek prizes beyond the strict call of duty?
No, sir. My order stated that the taking and destroying of the enemy's shipping and material was of the utmost importance. My actions in all things have been directed entirely to that end.
Come, cheer the bold Sophie, loud shouting, hoosay, for our Goldilocks Jack, show the Drake of our day. With the French and the Spanish, the girls all agree, how prodigious the might of his fiddly-dee. How the merchants wail, a-piping their eyes, as they see the bold Sophie sweep up every prize. For in France nor Spain, they've not the navy, as can whack lucky Jack on his fiddly-dee.
Is this a battle?
Up your
guns! Mr. Marshall, I thought we were coming to our home port.
So we are, Doctor, so we are. But the salute, you see, is for the Admiral's flag.
Hold out your gun!
A waste of expenditure in powder.
Surely must enjoy the better rhythm of our gunnery, though, Doctor?
I do not.
Oh, well, there's no pleasing some.
Very well done, Mr. Day. Very well indeed.
Thank you, sir!
I was not the one he sought to please, sir, by his ridiculous ceremonial. He hopes only to ingratiate himself with the proprietor of that flagship.
Well, so he must, for on the Admiral rest all Captain Aubrey's hopes of promotion.
You needn't take it too much to heart, sir. Plenty of men never rise even to commander.
No, my lord.
Lady Keith, my wife, has a great kindness for you, as you know.
I value her friendship the highest, my lord.
As for myself, Captain Aubrey, I should be grieved to see you harm your own prospects.
Thank you, my lord.
So, will you allow me to speak to you very frankly?
Certainly, my lord.
I should think my judgment very poor were I to entrust a line of battleship to a man with your record. Captain, liable to take it into his head to fight a fleet action according to his own notions of strategy. You've received an official reprimand for petulance, for neglect of orders on several occasions. You have acquired a reputation for undue independence, for temerity.
In my own defense,
even
my lord.
For insubordination, sir.
I beg pardon, my lord.
Yet you do possess one prime quality. None of my other cruisers has played such havoc with the enemy's trade. None has taken half as many prizes. You are lucky, Captain Aubrey.
He well might say so. Who gets an eighth of all the prize money we take? God damn all admirals!
But is it so bad a thing not to be post-captain? Then you're already captain anyway.
Why, yes, certainly. It makes all the difference in the world. You cannot imagine. And there is, too, the eagerness for an extra 18 pence a day.
Oh, a great fortune.
But the vital difference, Doctor, is that a post-captain has his title by right, whereas mine is only by courtesy. And once you're over that fence of being made post, why, you are there. All you have to do from then onwards is to remain alive, and in time, admiral.
Which is the summit of human felicity?
Of course it is.
And nothing but seniority to take you there.
Not interest, not selection, not merit. Nothing save your position on the list.
But till then, you have to get onto it.
Yes, which means truckling to every damn scrub of a senior officer. Yes, sir. No, sir. By your leave, sir.
Your most humble servant, Captain Hart, sir.
Mr. Ellis, you are as prescient in your timing as in your business ventures. You could hardly have chosen a better moment to send your boy to sea.
We shall make him a good officer.
My wife and I, Captain Hart, prefer to offer our Henry to a little boat, better than a ship of the line.
Oh, why is that, sir?
The Duke of Clarence tells me that the first raters are rather mixed, if you understand me. My wife is very particular. And some of these captains want their young gentlemen to have an allowance of £50 per annum.
At least 50, I should suggest.
Oh, but I dare say a good many of the things can be picked up second hand.
Without a doubt, Mr. Ellis.
But then, I don't mind 50 quid, or even more. So long as the ship is genteel.
Captain Aubrey is a thoroughgoing Tory, sir.
Just like me. And your lieutenant, Mr. Dillon, is Lord Kenmare's nephew, I collect.
Oh, quite a gentleman, sir.
Dr. Maturin, too, is a physician. The only one in the fleet to act as ship surgeon.
And on land, you know, Mr. Ellis, a physician's worth a guinea a visit.
Indeed. That's better. It is well known that only gentlemen are fit to be officers. God has ordained it so, and is his wisdom seen to it that the lower orders should love him for it. Gentlemen, a toast to discipline.
To discipline. Yeah,
I see now how much an ambitious subordinate is forced to suffer.
I am truly sorry to impose that upon you. I never thought Molly Hard would give so miserable a dinner. And now I am saddled with some damn nuisance of a mid. Also, that scrub Hart gratifies Ballyfair.
Well, it was, though, the first time I've known our port commandant to treat you as an honored guest.
He must be very much in that man Ellis's debt. Even to have him in the house.
Yes. A curious study. The pure bourgeois in a state of social ferment.
Ellis, well, what do you expect when a fella sits thinking of money all day long? And they can never hold their wine, those sorts of people.
And that woman insistence upon authority and beating when he was thoroughly drunk. I would wager that he is very nearly impotent, which would also account for his wife.
It might be just as well if everybody were impotent.
Do you think so?
I tell you, universal impotence. Save a world of trouble.
You had better take warning, sir. I do not intend to allow you to insult myself or my servant.
Don't you come talking to me now, honor, Lieutenant. I know what you mean by it.
You are angry and you are poor.
Yes, I am. Both of those. And for why? Because it's only the Navy pocket their takings from the prizes they capture. Is that fair?
I will allow you to withdraw from this if you give me your...
I will not withdraw. I'll draw. You're only in that uniform for the riches it brings you.
You are mistaken.
You're a liar.
So be it.
He came straight onto my sword's point. Poor, stupid, clumsy soldier. Well, were you angry with him?
No, it was an ignorant quarrel. He felt that prize money was all our reason for serving at sea, and a drunk. And that I knew I'd not been altogether fair to Captain Aubrey on that very matter.
Well, it is true he does love a prize, but the taking of them is not his prime concern, really.
Just so. In passing, though, I may say not every man would know it. The hands in particular, and you know, Doctor, if they're not kept in check by these steady officers, I think we shall have trouble from them over it. Prize money is heady stuff and no great step to breaking Balkan plunder. There's been some of that already, and mutiny's not a terrible long way further.
You do not believe that.
Mutinies always break out in ships where the discipline is too lax or too severe.
Spithead and the law.
Fear and greed.
You suggest we see too much of the former, too little of the latter? That surprises me, James.
No. There is a thing which is commonly called discipline. But that is quite strict with us. What I mean by it is something different. The chain of obedience, if you like. A commander is obeyed by his officers because he is himself obeying.
I see.
Then you'll see, too, that if a commander doesn't obey...
Captain Aubrey.
Yes. For instance, those 50 prisoners foisted upon us from San Fiorenzo. Yes, it was a monstrous abuse. Yet it was an order, but he didn't want them. So we put them ashore on the nearest island.
But he did have to answer for it, James.
But he is lucky. And any admiral will waive principle to look kindly upon a man who brings him prizes.
Harsh. But then you're a rich man.
Oh, that's not germane.
Well, a rich man may afford to look for honor.
Tell me, Stephen, do you really think honor is a luxury?
Five vessels, two Setis, a tartan, a snow, and a ship of some force as their watchdog. What do you make of her, Mr. Dillon?
I can't count our gun ports in this light. She's French, at any rate. Seems a little small for one of their 18-gun corvettes.
And she lies to windward of her convoy.
May I make a suggestion, sir?
So long as we don't hold a council of war, they never decide anything.
I see. Perhaps you would like me to beat court.
You see that slovenly little snow between us and the ship? You and our boarding party might take her before she's aware, while she masks us from her escort.
But you mean to attack the ship, don't you, sir?
I shall have no choice. But surprise will be everything.
You out! You surrender? We miss you.
On deck, then, with the rest of the prisoners. Allez! Allez, vite!
He's taken her!
Hooray!
Well done, Mr. Dillon! Well done indeed, sir!
No,
put up those hammocks now, Mr. Watt!
Aye,
and
sir.
Break out our colours!
I'm putting there! Quickly, damn you!
Mr. Marshall!
I come, sir!
As soon as Mr. Dillon has that snow paid off, clear through the gap by a starboard bow! But this Frenchman is no fool, privateer or regular navy. Yet too late, my friend, to reverse your manoeuvre now, I think. Mr. Day!
Sir!
A shot across that city's bow there! Give Mr. Dillon a chance to take her as well!
Aye, sir! Range up on the steady, Mr. Rickard!
Aye, aye, sir!
250 yards, Mr. Marshall!
Aye, sir!
Fire! Dear God! What an awakening! Oh. What hour is it? Did they beat to quarters and I not hear them?
And I who thought I was becoming quite the naval animal, so it is. What is it?
Quarters, sir. Quarters, if you please.
Then have I missed the drum?
What? No, sir. Surprise action.
Effectually so, in my case. But how does it go? Shall we win the day?
We lose the wind. Mr. Marshall!
Hands to the braces!
Fire alongside her and keep firing!
Why, Elisa, the setting is struck a colour.
Thank you, Mr. Ricketts. Let's go Mr. Dillon's boarding party may pick her up before she changes her mind. Go aloft now and be ready with the royals.
Aye, aye, sir.
Castell and quarter suffer some. And we have the measure of her for gunnery. Though hers are 8 pounders to our 4. How typical of the French always to be firing high.
Sir, is she not beginning to draw ahead of us?
There she is. The royals, Mr. Marshall, directly.
Aye, sir.
We must not let her outrun us.
She must have been an exceptionally fine sailor, though.
Prodigiously so. On my word of honour, 4 miles to our 3, the Loire, even without her royals. Though we knocked her about to a degree.
She did little damage to you. I'm glad to see it, sir.
Why, yes. No one killed, no dangerous wounds. A pretty action.
He thinks I'm shy. Allow me to present Captain La Hire, sir, of the French Royal Artillery.
Happy, Capitaine, sir.
Domestique, monsieur.
The snow turned out to be a Neapolitan prize, sir, the Santa Lucia. Captain La Hire was good enough to take command of the French Royalist passengers and her Italian seamen. And they kept the privateersmen under control while we pulled across to take the settee, the Pas d'Arles.
Very well done indeed, Mr. Dillon. Last I saw her, she'd struck. But did she then try to run?
Oh, she tried, sir. Yes.
Then I am mightily obliged to you, Captain La Hire. Huh? Obligé, monsieur.
De rien, mon capitaine. Je vous
assure. What are the other 2 merchantmen, Mr. Dillon?
I regret to say they were far too far downwind by the time we'd secured the Pas d'Arles.
Oh, that's a shame.
We shall be able to complete our commercial endeavour, sir. They ran down the coast. By now, they'll be lying under the guns of the battery at Almorara.
Good. We shall have to look into that bay, then. Many prisoners?
4, just. The Snows people are all allies, of course.
When did the Gloire take them?
8 days ago, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir. She is a fair prize.
Cape Ifac and Cape Almorara. And the village there, where lie our other 2 merchantmen.
From what the Spanish prisoners have been saying, I gather the Seti, the Zalek, has a cargo of quicksilver hidden in sacks of flour.
Well, then we must handle her with great care, eh?
Of course.
What?
With great care, sir.
He thinks I'm shy.
This habit
that I left off chasing the Gloire because I chose not to get hurt and came hurrying back in search of a prize.
Thus, right across.
Doctor, this raised part to the end of the jetty, 10 feet high, do you know?
Oh, well, it's 8 or 9 years since I was last in Almorara, but the chapel on it withstands the tall winter storm waves.
Then it would certainly protect our hull from their fire.
Aye, the Sophie will be tolerably safe there, sir, anchored so with a spring on her cable.
As heavy a fire as you can, then, Mr. Dillon, playing on the mole there and over the tower, while we run in as fast as ever we can to take the battery from behind.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, me, sir. I am going ashore. Shall we say 10 minutes to run from our landing place to the tower?
Allow 20 minutes, if you please. You portly men of a sanguine complexion often die suddenly from unexpected exertion.
I do wish you would not say things like that, Doctor.
Well, it is the heat. Brings on congestion, apoplexy.
And besides, I am not portly.
Oh, you can't think so, Doctor. The captain has an uncommon genteel figure.
I may not be perfect, Mr. Dillon, but by God, I am not shy. Dear heaven, what a bloody great gun!
C'est une belle de 24 livres, capitaine. À mon avis.
Domestique, monsieur. We can't get our prize out. I shall burn her where she lies, and the whole bloody village along with her, if necessary.
What, lad? We'll be giving them a taste of what the Sophie's serving up now.
I'll see you, I'm in fait.
Nearly there.
Load our fall.
Out and into a file quickly there.
Double lines. Mr. Watt? Here we are, sir. Marshal, there's yours. Clap up your lines, all. Each man to his knot.
Ready? Ready, there.
You there. Please, Watt, what is it?
You did that yourself.
Oh, merci. Very much, mon capitaine. Already there?
All correct, sir.
Sir. Then tear away.
Splendid fireworks, Mr. Dad.
Aye, sir. This is what I call a nice, well-matched, bare-knuckle battle.
The Spaniards are busy in their fort. Must be near time for their surprise.
Stop your men!
Please, God, let the rocket come soon. Seize your arms, all.
Those are their guns, Mr. Watt.
Ready to handle?
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Pulley, the rocket out, if you please.
Ready planted, sir.
Now, sir, stump down through the dead.
Bloody Tinder.
Sergeant Quinn is the Marines. Parapet, take the fort quick and then fast to those prizes. All understood.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Pulley, where's that rocket? Well done. Ready, then?
Aye, aye, sir.
All ready, sir. Come on!
There it is, Mr. Dad.
Sir, shift your fire light.
Well, Ben, and I wish I was with them. Lucky you, Ricketts.
So little we can do.
On the jelly, lads.
Well, I should have them, Mr. Darmington, that we'll know when the guns are sent.
Prime!
Prisoners! Mr. Marshal!
These are just...
The rest all ran.
I am not bloody shy.
No, think it of you, sir.
What?
I said no one could think,
Mr.
sir.
Mr. Pulley, back up those guns.
Aye, aye, sir.
Capitan.
Capitan, oh, please.
Monsieur Laire. Well fought, sir. The ambassadeur, indeed. Should you care to take a crowbar to these guns?
No, better make a leap.
Eh?
Make all fort leap. Something on there, eh?
Boom! You, sir, very, leap in the air, yeah? Well, then do it at once, I think.
Come to the same
way, well, eh? You and all our people are to cut along at once to the jetty. Get the settee set round and ourselves loose.
At once, sir.
Sergeant Quinn!
Sir!
Your Marines to form at the landward end. Fire all the time whether you see anyone or not.
It'll be done so, sir.
And while you're doing that, Captain That Ear and I will be blowing up the fort.
Oh, we got it back.
It could almost be daylight.
Three tartans of fire.
Fine blaze.
Look up, man.
And you can see our men quite clear on the deck of that merchantman, ready to bring her out.
Yes, a very neat action. I must tell you.
Never trust an artillery officer. Look at Bonaparte. Sadly out, I'm afraid, that is, calculations.
Well, how could he have guessed at a second magazine? It was a very pretty explosion, though.
What's that?
Very pretty.
Pretty? Me? You jest, of course.
No, the explosion.
Ah.
The deafness will pass, and the hair will grow again, I expect. In default of which, you can at least afford now the most splendid wig imaginable, should you wish it.
Thank you for that. What do you think of my official letter?
Rather bald. I beg your pardon.
Commended everyone, I should have.
Everyone except yourself, I believe.
Yes, well, that's the nature of these damn reports. And if you think this or I are bald, Doctor, you should see Monsieur Laire.
Oh, the doxies, they swoon for young Goldilocks' hair. But Jack spurns them. He swore sure he'd take no pox there. He'd a commandant's wife. She came sat on his knee, for she loved how he played her his fiddly-dee. Oh, the girls, they grieve and cry like a day, for their harbor's all empty when Jack sails away. And the Spaniards quail and pray that the sea won't send back lucky Jack and his fiddly-dee.
My Lord Jack! A wig!
It is only for the moment.
Oh, and your poor dear face!
There are fewer colours in this garden, I know. But, Molly, you will find undamaged all that is vital.
Hmm? Jack, I...
Captain Aubrey!
You will have to discover that later, eh?
The servants told me you were here, sir.
Molly, Colonel Pitt is awaiting your company for the morning ride you promised.
Pitt? Not that damned ugly bore of a cavalry.
I'm afraid you must excuse me, Captain Aubrey.
Mrs. Hart?
As far as ugly girls, Aubrey...
It will pass, sir.
I want to present to you young Henry Ellis.
Good morning, sir.
And to you, sir.
I have every hope and confidence he'll make you a grand midshipman, sir, and his family's pride.
But for a month or two, Mr. Ellis, you are with us to see how you take to the service and whether you're suited to it.
I shall do my best, sir.
You're joining in a lucky ship, sir, with a lucky captain.
You'll lose a Sophie, that's what. And more. They'll either get us all knocked on the head or taken prisoner.
Oh, you have to have an eye for the mean chance, Mr. Ricketts. And Captain Aubrey certainly has that.
Oh, the mean chance, the mean chance. I've no wish to drag out my days in a French or Spanish prison, Mr. Watt.
That's why you're writing to transfer, then, is it?
I don't want my Charlie knocked on the head, either.
Come now. A naval officer has to run risks.
Well, I'm not unwilling for him to run them. But the ordinary risks of the profession, not these capers. That bloody great battery. This setting about everything we see, regardless of size and number, it's tempting fate, that's what.
I dare say people are vexed. And I dare say they call me Beelzebub. But that don't make me Beelzebub.
That does it not. Well, however that may be, you've stirred up the mercantile interest all along this coast.
I should hope so.
I have heard the Spanish call you a false, harsh, brutal, murdering villain. An odious man. There is particularly a wealthy man by the name of Mateo. Three of your prizes were once his.
Well, I dare say he's wonderfully incensed against me, then.
I'm told he has chartered a ship of force to protect the coasting trade, but even more to pursue the Sophie. A Zeebeck frigate, whatever that is. Cacafuego is her name.
Cacafuego? Doesn't that mean...
Yes, it does.
You should make a fine spy.
Well, certainly I would, if I chose to play the part.
So, if you did choose, you could find out what ships and convoys were sailing, when expected, how laden?
I dare say.
Even the golden galleons themselves, perhaps.
Is it not a curious and illogical thing that it is right and proper to speak of the Sophie's enemies... If beyond question, it must be wrong and dishonorable to consider her prey.
You are right, of course. You must give a rabbit a sporting chance.
She's a man of war.
A frigate, is that?
If not a ship of the line. French, probably.
Reply to our private signal, sir! Blue ensign! Red ensign, gentlemen! At the
fore! Answer braces, south-west by south. Half south, Mr. Marshall.
South-west by south, half south,
sir. 6 months out of date, Doctor, that reply. Royals, law, and topsail, stunsail.
Royals, law, and topsail, stunsail.
Would you catch up with us?
I really couldn't say. Beyond an observation that it is very fortunate how the evenings are drawing in.
She's a heavy frigate, Charlemagne!
It's the gun, sir.
What is it, Mr. Babington?
Musgrave thinks she may be the detainers.
Well, how would you know?
What happened? I was here a prisoner, a part of the ship. A matter of 3 weeks and more took out of the collier.
Look again with my glass, then.
Yes, it's a fine glass, sir. Yes, she's a Dillon's, all right.
What does she carry?
Give Mr. Dillon back his glass, Musgrave.
Begging pardon, sir. Well, she carries them 26 18-pounders on the main deck, sir. 18 long eights on the quarter deck and forecastle and a brass on the long...
18 long eights on the quarter deck and forecastle and a brass long 12 for a foul chaser.
Thank you, Mr. Dillon.
You never answer my question, but she might catch us.
Need to sail nearly 2 knots faster than the Sophie. To do it by nightfall.
And the Dardanelles, Doctor, is no very famous sailor.
Then we may hope to slip away in the night.
Well, I once took part in a 32-hour chase, so it's not sure.
Oh, dear.
It was on the West Indian station. It covered more than 200 miles of sea. So you can see that in a case like this, Doctor, every fraction of a knot may count.
Who is it? It's Alice overboard, sir! Alice! Alice! Catch that!
What, young Alice?
Alice! Catch it!
Oh, you poor fool!
Captain Aubrey!
Come away, Doctor, if you
please. No, Captain Aubrey, let go of my arm, Mr. Dillon!
You must not interfere. It's his decision alone.
But the drowning boy is in his charge.
I saw the 80 men aboard this sloop. Make the calculation for yourself. That one drowning midshipman that was as hard on purposely, sort of a guest as I was in our first voyage together. Would he have left me in the water, I wonder?
Look there. We're making 7 knots, dead and yours 8. 10 minutes would lose a mile and more.
Still
and
all.
And your staring at him will not make him decide the easier.
Well, I know what I should do.
And I.
Probably not the same thing, though, James.
No.
Jolly right away! Stand by, fore and aft, ready to bring her into the wind!
Stand by there!
You see, Mr. Dillon?
The captain is more of your mind than mine.
As in so much.
Ready, sir!
Mr. Marshall, bring her to!
Aye, aye, sir!
But I hope our fate may not prove to be like Ellis's.
What, saved?
No, dead.
I beg leave to tell the court. I have no fault to find with my officers or my ship's company. The utmost endeavour was used by every person aboard the Sophie.
At all times, Captain Aubrey?
At all times, sir. And in all places.
Officers and ship's company, have any of you reason to find fault with the conduct of your captain, John Aubrey, in this matter of the surrender and loss of His Majesty's late sloop, the Sophie?
Put your damn backs into it, will you? There! And there's a dead end here!
What was he thinking of to fall overboard during a chase like that?
What the captain thinking of to put about for him? Boat up,
boat! Boat up there!
Face down.
Oh, woman, Jesus, hurry up, Mr. Boy. Come on.
We've wasted our time. 10 minutes and a mile or more. And a 45 trigger bearing up at 8 knots. We may well have lost us.
Perhaps you could help to bring him in, Mr. Paddington. Get over there.
Hurry up, for the love of Jesus.
About all. Come back to Sophie for dear life.
Come, my pretty young maid, to your charms I'll give tongue, for my tale of old Sophie's a song nearly sung. When outgunned and outsailed, but the bravest should flee. Strike my colours, cries Jack, kiss my fiddly-dee. Now the French, they cheer and cry, well-a-day, for their ship's all afire, they make Goldilocks pay. And the girls, they weep for fear, lest the sea don't bring back lucky Jack and his fiddly-dee.
Dear God!
We may cut him down now.
To bring a man back from the sea, from drown. He was dead.
Well, I wanted to try what I'd read for this. And I should have hated for your very humane decision to have been in vain. To turn back to him at the peril of your ship.
I'm at a loss to know, Doctor, what we would do without you.
With me will hardly make any difference to that dead and yours.
Once again, John! John!
And it's clear, Mr. Ellis, that you were born to be hanged after all. And it's only cigar smoke, sir. It's not hurt.
Thank you, sir.
It seems you can do anything, Doctor.
Nothing against that.
Oh, any arranging shot. And there's hope for us yet. We'll have the royals off there before dark.
And then we shall see, yes?
Well, we've not been caught before. You have brought our young Lazarus back from the dead. I should let you have a crack at doing the same for our fortunes.
And still she comes on.
Thank God it will be dark soon.
Too much sail on her aloft.
Too much aft. All our gear seems to be made of steel.
And our broadside will throw 300 pounds to our 28.
Is this the honourable match you would have wished upon us, Mr. Dillon?
Perhaps I'm not a great judge, sir, of what is honourable. I, who am a mere fighting man.
Well, you may have cause to use that quality, sir, another day.
I should be delighted, sir, when you will.
Now, I should be obliged if you would see to sending up those extra preventer backstays.
Thank you, sir.
If you please, sir. Mr. Mowat.
7 knots, 4,000, sir.
Perhaps you would be so kind as to tell me over one of your verses.
I don't have any, sir. It will go well with Dr. Maturin's playing, I'm sure. I am very fond of poetry, Mr. Mowat.
Well, sir. occasional piece. Oh, were it mine with sacred marrow's art to wake to sympathy the feeling heart, then might I, with unrivaled strains, deplore the impervious horrors of a lured shore.
And when you finish that, Philip, you can trim my hair.
On a Tuesday?
Yes, damn you, on a Tuesday.
Now, don't you move, sir.
There's such a sight upon the deck this morning.
Tell me, Doctor, a bearded vulture? An albatross?
Almost as wonderful, certainly. The cutter's crew, shaved, trimmed, straw hats, Guernsey frocks, ribbons of all things.
They are taking me in to see the tailor.
Well, it must be that something or someone very special is awaiting you.
Oh,
I understand.
I missed Molly Hart in Minorca that last time. She has come here to stay with her friend, Lady Warren. A long-standing engagement.
It matters to you.
Yes. You may leave that, Killer.
Aye, sir. And your best uniform. Oh, very fine. Best sword and gold-laced hat. You have missed her.
I didn't realize how much. But when we at last found we'd succeeded in our trick, had really lost that des damnés, I worked that afternoon, and my first thought was Molly. My first Stephen. Not success, not the Sophie. Molly.
Jack?
Yes?
This is so unexpected a pleasure.
I'm glad I can still give you pleasure.
I'm not a distance from your ordered course.
Well, I tell you, Molly, we were chased 100 miles by a Frenchman, which I managed to slip by a damn clever ruse.
Shall we moored long in the bay?
Don't you wish to hear my trick?
Oh, yes, by all means, sir.
Well, come nightfall, we rigged a raft, put on it a credible impersonation of our stern lantern and lights. I'd had them lit earlier on the sloop herself, so he'd recognize them. Then, we let the raft slip from our stern and put on all the sail we possessed. We were well away by the time the Dédaigneuse let our raft have her full broadside. A very noble sight in the dark. Brilliant flashes and a great sullen roar. And come the morning, we were all alone on the sea again.
And close by coincidence to here.
I hope you don't doubt me, Molly.
Jack, I hope you will not be pleased when I tell you that you sound like my husband.
What?
Molly!
What the hell is that?
Molly!
I wouldn't for the world hurt you, Jack, but you've come...
It's Pitt, am I right? Colonel Bloody Pitt.
I'll find you, you tease! Molly!
I understand perfectly.
Jack!
You are right, madam. Perhaps I am become too much like your husband. I played that very badly.
Well, your heart was not in it. It's been a tiring day.
Yes, and long. Do you remember that fellow named Pitt? Met him at Marne.
Yes, I do. A soldier.
Would you call him good-looking?
No. Oh, no.
I'm happy to hear you say so. I have a great regard for your opinion. Tell me, have you noticed how things return to your mind when you're hipped? Like old wounds breaking out when you've come down with scurvy?
Is that the way of it?
It's not that I've ever forgotten what Dylan said.
Perhaps I am no great judge, sir, of what is honorable. I, who am a mere fighting man.
Well, you may have cause to use that quality, sir. Another day.
I should be delighted, sir. When you will.
Has it been rankling, then?
Oh, you know, I've been turning it over in my heart this last day or so. I find that I must ask him for an explanation.
A satisfaction, as you term it.
I should have done so before. But as soon as we next go into port, unless the coming few days make the thing unnecessary...
You would hate to do it, would you not?
I shall, yes. But you understand, it's a point of honour.
Here. I will pour us some wine. It will help. And perhaps tomorrow you should be let blood. It is 3 weeks since you were let blood.
Well, I will swallow your potion, Doctor. But I tell you what,
Tomorrow night, we shall be going after some Barcelona gunboats. And I shall be doing the bloodletting.
God, what joy it was to be fighting with King's ships once more.
Yet we did not much add to what you might call the Sophie's battle honors, did we?
Well, any man of war may suffer from an unlucky shot, Doctor. Here. And those damn gunboats that never came onto us, always firing and falling back, quartering and turning to fire again. They were trying to lead us on.
A trap, you say?
We shall see. For I know... This time your friend will not be shy of the issue.
You are singularly happy, James.
Am I? Yes. I suppose I am. The chance at last to remember what we are. No damned privateer, but His Majesty's sloop.
What a romantic creature you are, to be sure. When a ball fired from a privateer's cannon makes the same hole as a king's.
Do you call me a romantic?
Oh, yes, dear Joy, yes. You'll be telling me next about the divine right.
Oh, you, the wild enthusiast leveller. Even you'll not deny that the king is the sole fount of honour.
No, James, not I. Not for a moment. I'd be court-martialed, sir.
Yeah. Do you know, Stephen? Huh? When I was last at home, we waked a man. He was one of my father's old tenants. It was as fine a wake as I might have wished for myself.
I'd better to meet another man still.
There was a song they sang there. It's been in the middle part of my mind all day, yet I can't quite bring it into my mouth.
Was it an Irish song?
There were English words as well. There was a line... Oh, the wild geese are flying, a-flying, a-flying. The wild geese are swimming upon the grey sea.
They will never return. For the white horse has gunnered, has gunnered, has gunnered. The white horse has gunnered upon the green lea.
That's it. That is it. Bless you, Stephen.
Is it possible?
Well, it contains no falsehood, at least. His Majesty's sloop, Sophie of Barcelona. Sir, I have the honor to acquaint you that the sloop I have the honor to command... Oh, I have the honor twice. On the 14th day of August of this year of our Lord, 1800.
Very well. Very well indeed.
What do you make of her, Mr. Dillon?
I rather think, sir, she is the Zebek frigate Dr. Maturin has warned us of.
So do I. Set the mainsail and haul up close to her!
What is that warship? She must be four times our size.
Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning.
It's as though we have caught a Tartar. She's a 32-gun Zebek frigate. And she cannot be anything but Spanish.
Well, she's strikingly beautiful, sir.
She's your ship, too, Doctor.
But in what way my ship?
We can be almost certain she is that very same Cacafuego you said was in search of us.
Ah. Then Senor Mateo must have rated our heads at a high price to have chartered such a powerful frigate.
A Zebek frigate, Doctor.
I beg your pardon.
And there go her topsails.
Mr. Ellis!
Aye, sir!
We'll run up the American flag, if you please.
The American flag,
sir. That should give them something to think about. Note down the time, Mr. Richards.
American
the gun's double-shotted, Mr. Dillon.
Double, sir.
Very good.
Are we not soon to come into very real danger of receiving a full raking broadside from her, lying as she does, I mean?
There is, Doctor, you will find out a wonderfully pleasant thing about fighting with Spaniards. It is not that they're shy, for they are not, but they are never, never ready.
Off the Llobregat Valley, making west-northwest, first sighted a Spanish Zebek frigate of 32 guns. Being 22 long 12-pounders, 8 nines, and 2 heavy carronades, viz. The Cacafuego. Commanded by Don Martín de Langara, and manned by 319 officers, seamen, and marines. The disparity of force rendered it necessary to adopt some measure that might prove decisive, and thereby carry it.
For elevation, the guns! Not a shot till we touch her! We'll put the Sophie right hard up against their mansions. She'll still fire 3 feet above our heads.
We will have them, sir. That 6-inch range there does the slaughter.
Ready, Mr. Marshal?
Ready, aye, sir.
Hard over.
Unbelievable that no mast or yard has been struck down yet, sir.
It cannot last. Mr. Ellis!
Sir!
Cut along to the galley. Get the cook to put all his dirty pots and coppers upside down.
Help
Mr. Dillon!
Yes,
I will speak to the starboard watch. Back, topsail!
Starboard watch, please!
Back! Men! Now is the time! Now or never! We must board her while she's staggering! Now or no quarter! 5 minutes, hearties, and she's ours! Broadswords away! Doublers, go black your faces in the galley and then forward with Mr. Dillon. The rest, aft now along with me! Are you ready?
You mean to board her?
I mean to take her, Doctor. And for that, I need your assistant, Cheslin. Every man, Jack, and ship's boy. And will you come too?
No, I will not. But I will steer, if you choose.
Do that, yes, thank you. But do come on!
I'm ready, sir!
Dear Doctor, you know what to do.
I do. Good luck, you Cheslin.
Oil hit the boogers for you, sir. Oil hit the boogers!
Doctor, what is the Spanish for 50 more men?
What?
50 more men, I may need them.
You haven't got them.
I just want the Spanish for them.
Oh, otros 50.
Otros 50. Now, Doctor, lay us alongside of them, I beg. Ready, men? Brace for it! Come on! Come on!
The boarding of the Cacafuego was accomplished almost without loss. And a violent close engagement was fought with her crew, who offered a determined resistance.
Oh, God, it won't do! Ah! Where's Mr. Dillon?
He'll look, sir.
Good. Damnation. The tide may turn any second now. Mr. Dillon! Mr. Dillon! The starboard gangway! That's for the starboard gangway! And doctor! Doctor!
What is it?
Otis Sequente! Otis Sequente!
The Cacafuego's captain being killed, and 55 men of her crew dead or wounded, the Spanish colors were obliged to be struck. I have, however, to lament the loss of Lieutenant Dillon, who fell at the height of the action, leading his boarding party.
Mr. Dillon! Mr. Dillon!
Yes, sir! He's here!
How badly wounded. Help me move him, Mr. Babington.
Hurry along now, you'll be burning this.
Oh, God.
Right, get it, keep moving there. Keep moving. Shit you off.
I saw him for a while. Through that gap where the two gun ports were beaten into one. Fighting by the gun, there he was. Those black faces of our star Bolands behind him.
And I thought we had lost all.
I saw his sword strike on an officer's breastbone on a metal plate. Doubled and broke with the thrust. And with those 6 inches left, James Dillon stabbed the man faster than you could see. Inconceivable force and rapidity.
I'm particularly indebted to him, you know. But after all,
you would never believe the happiness I saw in him. The light on his face.
therefore commit their bodies to the deep, to be turned into corruption, looking for the resurrection of the body when the sea shall give up her dead.
Also killed was Mr. Henry Ellis, a supernumerary.
Dear Lord, how that child looked in his hammock. The flag sewed up over him like a little pudding.
In addition, Mr. Watt, the boatswain, and five seamen were severely wounded. To render just praise to the gallant conduct and impetuous attack of Lieutenant Dillon, I am perfectly unequal to. You don't need that second two.
No. Of course you're right.
Captain Aubrey, I do believe.
I am that, sir.
Keats, of the Superb. You must allow me, sir, to congratulate you with all my heart. A most splendid victory. Tom, come and see whom I have here in tow. Would you do me the pleasure of dining aboard, or are you bespoke? Tom, look here. This is Captain Aubrey of the Sophie.
Oh, what a very great pleasure,
you know,
Captain Aubrey.
Bimble, of course. By reputation, I certainly do,
as
sir.
As neat an action as ever I saw, sir. Permit me to give you joy of your prize.
Oh, why, sir, I thank you most heartily.
32 guns bested by 14. Nelson will rejoice in this, Captain Aubrey.
Infinitely obliged to you, sir, for your kind opinion. There is none I value more. If there is any justice upon earth, that frigate will be bought by government, and you, sir, shall have command of her.
You'll come and dine with me, sir. Though I dare say every woman in Marne will be wanting you now, eh?
So, Aubrey, we are to congratulate you once again, I correct, upon your prodigious good luck?
You are too kind, Captain Hart, sir. I have brought you my official letter concerning the capture.
Oh, yes. I will forward it presently. Your list of wants, Aubrey.
What of it, sir?
The dockyard tells me it's quite impossible to supply even half of what you ask. How the devil did you contrive to get so many spars knocked away and such a preposterous amount of rigging?
If any man in the dockyard can tell me how to take a 32-gun frigate without damage, sir, I shall be obliged to him.
Have you written to young Ellis's people yet?
I have, sir.
They entrusted him to me, you know. Through me, to you. I don't know what I shall say myself to them.
And Ellis's father is your money man. Isn't that true, sir?
Oh, it's a good brave Capitano, good, pretty and brave.
Thank you. Thank you, Mercy, my dear. I am so much obliged to you, you know. Tell me, digame, would you be a good creature?
Mm-hmm.
Bona creatura, yes? And take this reward to your auntie. To your tia?
Reward? For what?
Auntie was quite right, my dear. The Quicksilver ship was there to the minute, and we found the false Ragusan just as she had said we would.
I say she know.
So you did, Karina. So here, aquí is the recompensa de tuatia. Merci, my darling.
Gracias, capitán.
Yakida. Is a little regalo para vous, sweetheart?
Present?
Shall I help you?
Oh, yes, you see, your pretty capitano. See his sparkles, yes, on his skin and diamonds. You like him?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, I like him.
How soon a great victory to ashes is turned. How soon a bold hero reviled and spurned. For its fortune rules all to the lowest degree. And if Jack hasn't luck, he's got fiddly-dee. Now old Hart may swear each dog has his day, for his wife, Jolly Roger, Jack Aubrey must pay. And the French no more bold Sophie shall see, for they've whacked Lucky Jack on his fiddly-dee.
And so I have nothing. A pitiful convoy escort duty for a mail packet. And kiss my hand at any efforts in the cruising line.
Yes, I think the ship's company only just restrained themselves from mutinous riot when they heard of your treatment. They were for throwing Captain Hart and his orders into the harbor, so they were, at the least.
Well, Hart is having his revenge now, all right. No step for me. Nothing in the Gazette about our action. The Cacafuego sold to the Moors for 18 pence and a pound of shit.
You set no store by this fancy irregularity in her command, her officer status.
My ass in a bandbox. And I'll tell you another thing, Doctor. Hart did not forward my official letter. Not by any man of war, not by any fast ship.
But he's obliged.
Only to send it. And I will lay you any odds you choose to mention that it is here with us. In that pitiful tub of a packet which has never sailed 6 miles to the hour since she was launched. And I know what Hart's covering letter will be, sure as if I'd read it.
Yes, he hopes to revoke you to an outburst. A child could tell that. To a disobedience which will ruin your career.
Oh, I shan't play the fool. But you see my hand?
Clearly, he has succeeded to admiration and envy, haven't you?
I confess it. I doubt if I could so much as finger a scale.
Come in.
If you please, sir.
What is it, Mr. Babington?
This is your compliment, sir. A French squadron. Formidable, indomptable, de Saint-Miron, we believe, sir. It snapped. If it's Admiral Lunois' squadron, sir. 272 guns in all.
It snapped.
Mr. D.L. asks, shall he beat quarters, sir?
I would not have had this happen for the world.
Strike our colors!
Will the accused stand?
At a court-martial assembled and held on board His Majesty's ship Pompey in Rossier Bay, in pursuance of an order from Sir James Damaris, Baronet, Admiral of the Blue, and Commander-in-Chief of His Majesty's ships and vessels of war in the Mediterranean. The court is of the opinion that Captain Aubrey, his officers and ship's company, did use every possible exertion to prevent the King's sloop, the Sophie, from falling into the hands of the enemy, and therefore from any stain and imputation that they did cowardly yield or cry quarter. They are hereby honourably acquitted.
Captain Aubrey.
Sir?
It is no small pleasure to me to receive the commands of the court at which I have the honour to preside, and to deliver again to you, sir, restored by both friend and foe alike, your sword.
In Master and Commander by Patrick O'Brien, Michael Troughton played Captain Jack Aubrey and Nigel Anthony, Dr. Stephen Maturin. Francis Jeter played Molly Hart, Lloyd Johnston, Captain Hart, the Ragusan Captain, and Judge Advocate, Gavin Muir, Lord Keith, Grenville, and Stirling, Margaret John, Queenie, and Chastity Baird, Kristen Millward, Mercedes, Richard Pierce, David Richards, and Young Jack, and Madame Lemessier. Derek Waring, Williams, Russell Floyd, Mr. Watt, Danny Canover, Mr. Babington, and Tom Bevan, Ricketts Jr. Neville Jason, Mr. Marshall, Dominic Letts played Musgrave, Mr. Mowat and Cheslin, David Jarvis, Lord Edward Fitzgerald, Peter Whitman, Mr. Ricketts and Isaac Wilson, and Julius Hart. Charles Simpson played Lieutenant James Dillon, Nick Knight, Master Harry Ellis, Don McCorkendale, Wilkinson and Killick, and Nina Wadia, Dorothea. Master and Commander was dramatized by Roger Daines, with accordion, pipe and singing performed by Trevor Allen Davis. The director was Adrian Bean.